like, yeah, I think we better pull up stakes and look for a new place to chop up for some gold.
My water rods are trembling. Best find a new well.
I think we should reconnoiter over yonder. Try to drum up some gold.
There's oil in them darn hills.
Well, penny feathers. We should put something together.
We're fired. I'm firing us from our own podcast.
We are fired.
We're totally fired.
We're more upset with ourselves than you are with us, I'm sure. Yeah,
trust me. Save the emails because we hate ourselves more than you do right now.
I'm going to go flog myself like that guy from the Da Vinci Code after this.
The albino?
Yeah. That's me.
Oh, they're into a weird brand of Jesus, aren't they? Welcome back to the Walking Dead podcast by LSG Media. I'm Dean, and I am joined by Mr. Matthew Anderson, and together we're going to be talking about the finale for The Walking Dead. What season is this, Matt? Seven? Season seven, finale episode 16, the first day of the rest of your lives.
Well, howdy, howdy. Here we are.
It's time.
Here we are after fan favorite season seven finally coming to a close.
Yeah, well, it's a good time. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah.
The season has ended. I'm sure we're going to have plenty to say about the season overall, what happened in this week's episode, et cetera, et cetera. But I do want to say this. We are going to spoil this episode, so if you haven't seen it, prepare to be spoiled.
Oh, yeah. Also, Glenn dies in the comics, you dumb asshole. You should have known that by now. I'm on one tonight.
I like it. Yeah. So we're going to get to this. We're going to work our way through it. We say bad words. It's explicit for a reason. So consider yourself warned. This podcast episode is being recorded live. You can go to libertystreetgeek.net/live. That's libertystreetgeek.net/live, where we do all of our shows live. This one, we're currently using Mixlr, but we altered that URL just in case we change it up, because we're trying to do YouTube in our future, but that's a bit of a ways away. But yeah, libertystreetgeek.net/live. We got a chat room going. People are hanging out. They're cool cats, and they're all goofing off and having a good time. And you get to miss. You don't get to miss, but you do miss when you're not on the live show. You miss all the ridiculous shenanigans ahead of time, like the way Matt and I just imitated Sling Blade for fucking 10 minutes.
It's a good time.
So anyway, let's dive right into our initial impressions, Matt. What do you say?
Oh, yeah. Let us do it.
I want you to kick things off, as only you can do.
Ooh, as only I. Well, I do think this is a pretty good episode. I'm pretty satisfied with this. I think they learned. I don't. You know, they probably already had the general outline, the skeleton of this episode written down by the time last season was ending. But I do. I like the closing with. You know, this is basically what we talked about. You know, with our hopes for what was going to happen last week, of how I want an actual battle to happen. I want a real exchange to go down between Rick and company and the Saviors. I wanted this war to genuinely be kicked off. You know, we don't have to, obviously, it's not going to wrap up. We're not going to see Negan get killed or something, or some big decisive moment like that happen. But I just wanted to see things finally, irrevocably escalate to where next season is going to be war. And I got that. And I think I liked how it was handled pretty well here. The shock of the way that Sasha died and turned, I enjoyed. I liked the turning of the garbage people. And I also liked that they didn't just get wiped out. I really did think for a moment that, sorry, hold on a second.
Nice.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's pretty awful. But anyways, I really like that Rick had this, you know, treacherous exchange with Jadis, but she makes it out of there, and she still has a pretty big contingent of people of her own. And I kind of like the idea that maybe they're this extra lever in the war, where Rick and company are obviously against Negan, and Negan's against them, but the trash people could maybe still be swayed back and forth. They're kind of looking for this deal. So I like them being this kind of wild card. That was cool. And man, yeah, I have no real complaints about the actual battle itself. You know, we'll dive into it when we get there. But this was pretty enjoyable all around, man. I had fun watching this. It was a good season ender for me.
Was there anything that you didn't like or didn't sit well with you?
It will arise as we go. Nothing, to be honest, nothing really. If anything, there was just stuff that I didn't care about. It's nothing like nothing I saw in here bothered me. But there were moments where I'm just like, I don't really care. Like we're finally tying up this loose end on this thing. All right. Like there's a few moments where you know they didn't have I think the payoff the show was wanting them to have, but everything that worked really well for me.
Nice. Excuse me. Well, yeah, man. It's funny, when I watched this episode, when I was first watching it, I think part of my problem, and I feel bad about this because I know I'm not being completely objective when I talk about Sasha, but part of my problem with Sasha is just not caring enough about her to be overly emotionally invested in her exit from the show. It just sort of happened. I felt very little for it. And I feel bad about that. Now, I know I said I felt the same way for Glenn, and I think probably part of the reason was because of the spectacle of his death so outweighed the emotional impact to me. I was like, wow, his eyes popping out, that it was just overshadowed. There's a lot of shit that happened in this episode that I liked structurally, and I'm looking forward to talking about that stuff. Part of my problem is that I don't love Sasha. So because of that, a lot of the stuff I didn't care too much about. I thought the way she decided to kill herself was pretty cool. One of the things I was hoping for was when she negotiated for one life, and she was going to go in the coffin. I turned to Jessica and I said, "She's going to fucking take the cyanide and die. And then that's going to be the one life, and it's going to spare everyone else. And there was going to be no kickoff to a fight, right?" That's kind of what I was thinking was going to happen, and I'm assuming that's what she wanted herself. Because she spends all this time negotiating for, because he's like three people, and she's like, no, just one person has to die. And then when she took the cyanide, my assumption was, oh, she's giving herself up as that one person. And then if Negan wants to honor that agreement, then Rick and everyone is going to get away with one, right? He's going to walk away. But then it kicks off this betrayal. It kicks off Sasha, zombie walker, Sasha. Oh, yeah. And the big fight breaks out and all this stuff and all hell breaks loose. And it kind of, her death, in my opinion, doesn't have a tremendous amount of meaning as a result of that. Other than it's a distraction enough to get Rick and those people fighting. But there's no way she knew that was going to be the outcome of it. She just was like, I'm going to fucking swallow this pill. So I'd like to work through it. I haven't had a lot. I mean, right, Sunday was yesterday. So I've only been thinking about it for 24 hours. Plus, I've been thinking about 50 other things. As you know, we're moving. This is actually the last podcast we're recording in our current location, which is crazy to think about. So very, very cool. What a piece of LSG media history this will be. But so I haven't thought a lot about it other than the last 12 hours or so. And I was thinking, I'm hoping that on the podcast tonight, I can work my way through this with you, Matthew, and with you, listener, because what I want to do is I want to figure out the thought process behind that death and what she thought she could accomplish by killing herself with cyanide.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Because I'm not really sure. But anyway, so we can work through it. There is some cool stuff. There's some things that I liked, and then some things I was like, I don't know about this. Like some of the stuff with, like, I love Ezekiel, but some of the shit he says, I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, man. Like, we're in a life and death situation. Like, cut the bullshit. There's right. That kind of made me, like kind of roll my eyes. And then just some of the basic actual fighting was head-scratching to me. Like, some of the weapons play, some of the way they handle the weapons, some of the way they were doing shit. I was like, who the fuck is shooting who? Who knows who is who? And like just dumb little technical details like that bothered me. But overall, I liked a lot of the shit. I actually liked the garbage people betrayal. That doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me at all that something like that would happen. The sloppiness, and we've talked about sloppy a lot, and we haven't talked about it in a long time, and we're going to talk about it again with allowing these people all to kind of be in these weird positions where they have advantages over you should they just turn their guns on you. That was crazy. So well played by, is it Tamiel?
That's her name.
So yeah, stuff like that I appreciated. I liked that. I liked that this whole thing kicked off. Like you just said, I'm glad that we got some kind of fighting. I'm glad that we got a confrontation. And now we've broken these two groups up. And the biggest thing that I'm looking forward to, and this might even be a final thought, but I'll just say it now, is that I'm looking forward to starting off next season and we see some sort of like infiltration attack. Like we're right in the middle of it. Like Rick taking out an outpost. That'd be cool. The war's kicked off. Let's see it. I want to open season 8 big. I want to open it with some kind of like attack on something or a defense or like in the middle of the fucking action.
Totally. And this show has never quite done that. We've had plenty of action scenes and even battle scenes, but when we thought there was going to be this big drawn-out war between Woodbury and the prison, it was a one-episode thing of this big exchange, and then he turned on his own people, and that was it. That was like, we haven't seen one big side, one big faction of people versus another big faction of people in a prolonged multiple-episode, maybe a multiple-season war. And that idea I'm still very in love with.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so let's dive in. I think we should probably do this in a way that doesn't jump around. I think probably the best thing to do is to break this up into sections and talk about it in a way that's logically makes sense, because I kind of took my notes that way. So we have all of Sasha's stuff leading up to her taking the poison.
So in other words, we're going to take Pulp Fiction and make it boring and linear. Fine. Okay, yeah, whatever. Hey, let's fucking pull the air out of it, Dean.
Yeah, yeah.
Destroy the magic. Take the fucking Mickey Mouse head off the mascot in front of the children.
I think so, yeah. Because I would rather not subject people to, and then we go back to Sasha, and then we go back to Sasha in her fucking coffin.
Totally.
And then we go back to Sasha in her coffin. And then we got, so the sections are kind of like Sasha leading up to her taking the poison, Rick and Dwight, this Alexandria stuff, and then just all of the Alexandria stuff sort of leading up to the fight, which is essentially the whole thing. Maggie's battle plan, quick kingdom look in. So what I think we should do, I think we do a quick look in on Maggie, right? Her fucking battle plan. We'll do a quick look in on the kingdom, and then we'll go to Sasha, and then we'll go to Rick, where they kind of culminate in the battle.
Sounds good.
Does that work?
That works for me.
All right, cool. So what we'll do is let's get right to Maggie. I'm going to jump into talking about Maggie and cross this off the list. Maggie has assembled her war council and her amazing generals in Gay Hipster Jesus and Teeny Bopper Enid. And she's assembled her war council, and they're discussing plans for the upcoming battle. And nothing overly important here other than we see her contemplating things like Daryl saying that he trusts Dwight. Things like Rick saying we should hang back and be a plan B, so to speak, which is a good move because that's what's needed, come to find out.
Totally.
And just stuff like that. And what did you take from this? Anything in particular?
No, that's the thing. This episode is a very plot-heavy one. You know, basically all of our more character exploration moments are pretty much refined to just Sasha. It's her closing out. It's her, you know, her last bit of an emotional arc, I guess you would say. Mm-hmm. And the rest of it is very much a plot episode of where we're who's going to be here and what are we doing and where are we going kind of movement. So this is just, you know, there's really not, you know, much analysis to take from this. It's just them trying to decide where they're going to go. And I mean, I guess, you know, this is also the scene I've been trying to lend this actor, the guy who portrays
Jesus Christ,
a fucking olive branch. Like I don't think I have said anything too harsh about him yet. I'm like, oh, you know, I mean, he's all right, he's okay. In this scene, it was the delivery of that line of like, but I'm glad it's you making this big decision. Because she's like, why are you smiling? And I'm like, fuck, you really are a shitty actor. Like, you are not good. Like, he's definitely the weakest on the show, I think, at this point. There's fucking Lenny James, who's like fucking Oscar material if he went into a fucking movie. And then there's this dude who's like, I put on a high school play wig. All right.
Yeah, the way he looks just reminds me of everything I ever hated about myself in like circa 91, right? Like the hair and the fucking goatee and the sweater and the I just can't.
Just trying to work out the fucking chords for Even Flow by Pearl Jam.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Oh, I got Yellow Ledbetter down. Nice.
Even Flow.
That's just what I see here. Like, I'm just like, I can't do this guy. I just can't do him. And I feel like it's just because there's no, like, he doesn't have gravitas, which is fine. But then with the mysterious element he's supposed to have, I'm just not interested.
Yeah.
Just can't do it.
Pretty much. Well, they, I don't know, there's nothing interesting, because when he was just a man without a country, when he was first introduced, in a way of like, we don't really know where he is or where he's from. He just has, you know, some martial ability and he seems clever and intelligent. There was kind of a, huh, what's up with this guy's deal? Like, the mystery around it is enough to be interesting. And now that we see that he's just like kind of a shitty right-hand man and having to like bicker with Gregory and he doesn't really get to do much. He throws a fucking Taekwondo kick every six episodes. I'm like, ah, man, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other, to his credit, they're not giving him a ton to do. But damn, yeah, I think this one is actually a lot more the actor's fault. Sorry, guy.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry. I don't know if that's the case, but I do know that I'm not interested in the Jesus character whatsoever.
I'm totally not. And I was when he was introduced. Like, I was like, oh, this could be interesting. I like to see where it goes. Eh.
Yeah. Yeah, he had intrigue, and then, he was intriguing in that, oh, here's this guy. He kind of sneaks around. He's a sneaky, roguish kind of guy. And then he was just some guy who said dumb shit to Gregory, right? And now he's just a guy who says dumb shit to Maggie. I'm glad you're the one making it for us.
Thanks, good input.
Yeah, cool.
That's what you've got for our plan? Yeah, hey, I'm trying to make an actual fucking viable war strategy. You're telling me I'm doing a good job? Thanks for the pat on the back.
Yeah, I have better luck asking the fucking wee baby Shane over here for war advice, because this ain't working with you. But yeah,
little
I don't
Shane.
Know. Yeah, little baby Shane. But I don't know. I'm just like, meh, whatever. Fuck this guy. I feel bad, but what are you going to do? And then let's talk a little bit about the kingdom.
Kingdom.
So we see Carol leading some people on this patrol kind of thing. And whenever she says guns up now, I want you to watch the scene over and over and over again. I really want to harp on firearm safety here, because these people are swinging their muzzles all over the place. And at any moment, any one of them could shoot their friend in the back or in the back of the head. And it's so troubling to watch for me. I'm like, this is why these Hollywood types, they don't know anything about gun safety. They're all in a weird, like, they're all jumbled up and they're also waving their guns around, pointing at each other's backs, and they hear shit. I'm like, what the fuck? Just stupid shit like that. Like, that's what I mean. A little technical
totally.
Nitpicky detail, like, drives me fucking bonkers.
They're in no, like, actual formation. They're just kind of in a little
And they're
wild
waving
people.
Their fucking guns around. I'm like,
yeah.
Do you understand, like, how fucking dangerous that is? It's crazy. It's like when we were talking about the Goodfellas episode, when, like, you know, fucking Tommy's waving his gun around, like, average person, that's just like, oh, he's crazy. But to somebody who's like interested in firearms and shooting, that's terrifying. Like, there's no respect for any of the safety. But anyway, I'll get over that. Let me get out from up my own ass for a minute.
What are you talking about, man? They don't have to worry about guns. They got armor on. That armor, they're impenetrable.
Yeah, yeah. And, I don't know. It drove me fucking bonkers. But I guess if they have no actual training, I could see them being stupid like that. But I don't know. Maybe not. Anyway, they come across a mopey as fuck Morgan wearing a fucking little kid's armor. That breastplate doesn't quite fit him. I don't know.
That's true.
Anyway, Morgan talks about going at it alone. Alone, I'm going to do it alone. It's like there's only two fucking ways with Morgan. It's like all the way or no way. There's no fucking middle ground with this guy. And Carol's like, well, that's dumb. Do you understand why that's dumb? She reminds him why that's dumb.
Yeah. Yep. And I do, what I like in this scene is the actual exchange between Morgan and Ezekiel, though. I think this is good because it's also, you know, the more I think about it, it's the first time we've seen the more violent Morgan. And you know, he's not out of his mind. He's really not. Like, he's standing here making sense. He's not frothing at the mouth, fucking wild-eyed. You know, he's still sane, but he has fully taken the side of violence now. Mm-hmm. But this is the first time somebody is saying, good, use it for something. Not just to just thrash wildly at the world and try to kill stuff to, I don't know, have your demonic bloodthirst sated to feel better. Like, who knows? It's like, do something with it. Okay, fine. You want to go kill some people right now? Let's go kill some people who should die and fight for a cause. And so I like this, you know, it's more interesting again here for Ezekiel, really, of being the character who has an eye for what people need, of like, this guy just needs a cause. He needs to have something to place this rage into that's worthy.
Mm. Yeah, he's a thinker, Morgan. He spends a lot of time thinking too much about things, and I think that's why he finds himself in these predicaments. It's also what makes him interesting and somebody who has the ability to self-reflect for a moment. But I do like Carol's talking to him. You know, she's like, "Have you killed any of them? Because if so, they might think it was the kingdom."
Yeah,
and then we lose our advantage. Like, she's talking tactical, because now that's the point we're at here, right? We're not at the point where we're going to go sit down in the fucking crisis center and talk about this shit. Like, we got to be smart, and we have to be clever about the way we're going to go forward with this plan. And that's when Ezekiel's like, let me talk to this guy. And he says shit like, "Do you seek to extinguish everything you were? Do you want the Savior's dead?" That's normal. "Cease this folly. Accompany my regiment. Our enemy is a dragon with many heads. Their numbers legion."
I love it. I do though. I want just once him to be like in the midst of trying to, you know, give some speech, and he's like, "And ahoy, ye mate!" Wait, no, that's pirate talk. like shit. Like, I'm running out of Middle English king speak. I don't remember anymore.
Mm, yeah.
Just one time, stumble up.
Part of me wants him to just go, "Listen, motherfucker. We got ourselves in a jam up in here," and just be real with fucking Morgan for a second. He's got a feather in his hair. What's he going to do?
He can't be that real. He's got a fucking feather in his dreadlocks.
Anytime you got a feather in your hair, you definitely have to
be mystical.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be like,
believe in crystals and shit. Mm,
yeah. You got to be a crystal person and loosen up chakras and whatnot with your fucking gobbledygook. I don't know, whatever you're saying here. I don't know. But nobody addresses this dialogue, right?
That's, oh no, I mean, it's just accepted at this point.
Nobody's just like, "Yep, like, dude, I'm pissing my pants. We're gonna fight the Saviors. I'm peeing, and you're saying capricious malevolence. Like, what the fuck? I cannot take this seriously. I'm gonna be thinking about capricious malevolence while I'm trying to aim."
Capricious malevolence. What is capricious anger? Bad. Fuck! I gotta dodge a bullet.
What does that even mean? But then they move forward for the kingdom. Of course, they get old Shiva in tow, which is nice. But anyway.
Big fan. I'm a fan of the damn tiger.
Yeah, tiger's,
I'll admit,
awesome. It. The tiger's just cool. It's cool.
It's fucking cool, man.
It's a cool animal. So they move on, and Morgan falls in line with the regiment, because what the fuck else is he going to do?
I know. Yeah, like, what is your alternative? Stand out here on this block and poke zombies all day long? Like, all
right. Right.
Really productive.
So why don't we go back to the beginning, and we'll go through all the Michonne stuff, which culminates into
all the Sasha stuff.
Did I say Michonne?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, all the Sasha stuff. So do you have any overall thoughts on Sasha in general before we delve into this?
You know, my thoughts on her at large are more so kind of in a meta sense of like what the show has done with her. because I did always, you know, Sasha was another one of those characters who was immediately not the most martial. She's kind of like second tier, where it's like, you know, you have your Michonnes and your Ricks and all those people, Daryl, you know, top tier. They're just the most badass fighters of them all. She's kind of like the one just under that. But she's always been capable. She's always been pretty smart. I liked her kind of trying to get out of her brother's shadow a little bit, and the thing with her meeting Bob was kind of interesting. You know, they've basically made her a character who's, you know, there are characters on this show who are, like, haunted by their past tragedy. Like, we've gotten a little bit of look at that with Michonne, like, you know, that one nightmare we've gotten to see of her, you know, I guess her boyfriend and her brother, and she had a child, and she lost all of that. But we haven't seen her experience a lot of major loss and trauma, like, you know, the loss of friends or loved ones' lives in front of her. I don't really count some random person in the group dying. You know, I'm talking about people close to her. Whereas Sasha, of all the characters in the show, she saw her brother die, her older brother. She lost her, you know, her two boyfriends, I guess you would say, two lovers. And she is pretty, I buy the fact that she would be very damaged and very, why bother trying to live anymore? Like, I can understand this, but I don't think the show did a great job of giving her a lot to do, a lot to go down these roads. I feel like, for one, a simple solution to this could have been a lot more time with Abraham. Like, we should have seen, if they had gone into Alexandria, and within the first episode or two of them getting there, the relationship between Rosita and Abraham just kind of fizzled out. Like, they just lost interest in one another, and then Abraham and her started from there, and we had almost an entire season of them building a relationship together. For one, I think it would have given them both more to do and been more interesting, but it would have given us more time with Sasha and more time of her building a relationship with another character that wasn't just, her brother. And that's kind of what we needed. What we got, I really like this episode's portrayal of her, of her final moments. It's good. I like the jumping back and forth in time. I like the fact that we see her die in the first 3 or 4 seconds of the show, and you're just not quite sure what you're seeing yet. I like that kind of strange, surreal take on all these things. But like what you've already been saying, we just haven't had enough time with her. I feel like it's a character of, like, all I remember from you in recent memory is you being, like, mopey sad. Sad mopey. I lost people and I'm sad. And, hey, I got Abraham now. Oh, he's dead. I'm sad now. Sad again. Like, that's kind of been, that's the most recent memories of her. And that's a rough pill to go out on. Like, I don't know.
No pun intended.
Oh, fuck. I didn't even, wow, look at me go. But no, yeah, I actually like the way this episode in particular handles her, that she has this kind of resolve all the way to the end. I also like about her character that she really does carry strong through it. And I like the fact that it was this catalyst of Abraham's death that put her to this place. We just needed to see more of that relationship to really believe it.
Yeah, I think part of the problem with Sasha is everything you just highlighted, which, to summarize, is she didn't really get enough time to do anything of interest by herself or with Abraham. We never got to see that relationship blossom. We didn't see anything between Rosita and Abraham that would indicate that they are no longer going to be together. Just one annoyance one day. And fucking that was it. Now, Sasha has the odds stacked against her because she is, quote, the other woman, right? We kind of got used to Abraham and Rosita. And we're like, oh, that's cool, whatever, that's their thing. They've always been traveling companions from what we've seen. We met them and Eugene together.
Yeah.
And now this other character, Sasha, who's been through this shit, we're going to try to put her with Abraham and try to create this thing. And we are barely getting over the fact that he's not going to be plowing Rosita anymore. And they want us to believe that we care about Sasha's feelings and Abe's feelings together. Because In our opinion, well, I'll speak for myself. In my opinion, Abe was kind of being a schmuck about Rosita, which was too bad. And a lot of these revelations that we've had in this season about that and about how Rosita and her talked about it when they were scoping out Eugene was that, he just wasn't ready for this and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, well, you're telling us this now to make us, like, I feel like what the writers were doing is they were trying to go back in time and make us feel something, which is one of the worst uses of flashbacks, right? This is, I know, and I've been pretty quiet about flashbacks. I don't mind in a TV show. Sometimes you have to go back in time. You have to show something that's important that tells you about your character or that moves the story forward. I didn't think that that's what they were doing. I felt that they were just trying to elicit emotion. They were just trying to elicit emotion to make Sasha's death have meaning. And that's what was so fucking annoying about it. They never showed us this conversation sequentially. They never took the time to develop it in the story and make us go, oh, cool, I get it, I can see, wow, how ominous, because they didn't plan it. So they're going back in time, and that just shows you a lack of understanding for that part of this character. This is thrown together shit to me. That's how it feels. It doesn't feel like they were like, we know exactly what Sasha's trajectory is going to be way back then. We know how it's going to go down. They could have fucking built it into the narrative, and then we could reflect as an audience back on those times. But because they had no, because there nothing existed that was reflect back on those times, we never felt it. So they jam a fucking flashback up our ass and hope that we feel something at this point, right? And I'm like, no way, my ass can take this shit, man. It can take a pounding. There's no, wait, whoops. What am I talking about? No, but you know what I'm saying.
How my about point, Dean in the house?
No, not exactly. But I never really felt what they wanted us to feel, and now they're trying to make us feel it today, right? Mm-hmm. It's like they never gave you an opportunity
by putting this in front of you back then. Now they're going to be like, Sasha's about to die. Here, feel something. It's just fucking stupid to me. Like, I hate, I think that shit writing, as far as she's concerned. But the whole structure of the episode, I like. So all the stuff with Sasha in the coffin, her taking the stuff, I understand Sasha's death, really. Sasha's death, the wave metaphor really is the answer here. I had a dream, we're on a beach, you fucking died, bada bing, bang, boom, I went out there to reach for you, and I got pulled under too. Okay, that's the metaphor. In other words, Abraham's death is going to come, and it's going to be too much for her to handle, and she's going to go down too. That's what they're saying. There's no thought process. There's no tactical decision-making by her. She's just like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to go out on my terms. I don't think she thought that it was going to be the strategic advantage when she popped out of the fucking coffin, right?
Oh, interesting. I disagree with you there. I do actually think, because, you know, there is a moment here where when Negan brings her the breakfast, he's like, you're going to help me set things right today. We cut away, see some other shit. We come back, and he's like, and that's what I'm going to need from you, blah, blah, blah. So we're supposed to be, you know, the show's keeping it a mystery at this point to kind of, you know, have that mystery of not knowing what's going to happen in the actual moment. But he must have told her the entire plan there of like, all you're going to do is just be in this coffin and I'm going to stand it up for dramatic effect because I'm fucking Negan and you're going to be in there and you're going to be the bargaining chip. I'm not going to hurt you. We don't have to hurt anybody else right now. You're just going to be in this coffin. And I think she did probably after hearing that plan go, huh, so you're going to be the big orator like you like to do, and you're going to be the one opening up the coffin with me in there. And I think from that moment, I think she is actually like, all right, fuck it. I can die and I can maybe get him too.
Really? Interesting.
I think so.
So like the Duke Leto, remember the tooth, right, in Dune?
Oh, yes.
Like they knew they were going to take him, but he bites down on the Leto. Is it Leto Atreides? Yeah, because Paul survives Leto. He bites down on the cyanide tooth and tries to blow the cyanide at Baron Vladimir Harkonnen, but it doesn't work. He dies anyway. I feel like maybe she... I think it was an afterthought, personally. We never will really know. Kind of feel like this episode was trying to show us that she had made a pretty... I think she made a decision about this, because when she's talking to Eugene at one point, you know, Eugene's like, have you made a decision on your allergy medicine? She's like, yes, I have. I think she knew then, like, I'm fucking dead. And maybe I'll get Negan. I don't think getting Negan was the main thrust of the plan because it's so ill-conceived. I mean, you open it, you don't know what you're going to do. You're going to stumble out of there. There could be a guy right there who just shoots the fucking thing in the head. You know, it's the way it kind of happened was a little corny. Like, oh my God, I fall down. These guys kill walkers like in their sleep, except when they need them for dramatic effect. And then suddenly they're overwhelming, you know. Like the walker power is so inconsistent to me. That's another thing that drives me bananas. But,
I need to watch that shot again. I need to see how that plays out.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. But anyway, coffin music, hey, darling, wake up. We see Sasha and Abe. So Rick is taking Maggie to Hilltop. We learn that on the eve of Abe's death, or in the morning of Abe's death, one of the things that were happening was that they were going to go out, and Sasha had the dream. Would have been cool to see it back in the season finale, right? That's my point. If this conversation happens back then, it changes things a lot. It could be this whole thrust for the Sasha character. Instead of us just looking at Sasha the whole season going, oh, she's on this crazy fucking warpath.
Yeah.
For what? She's on a warpath. And then they're going to go back and explain it to you. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You fucks.
You know, shit, it would have been cool if they had done this, they had structured it that way of having, you know, that conversation happen back in season six, and then during her time in the coffin, she's just remembering the dream.
Sure.
The dream itself. How cool.
Yeah. Him on the fucking ocean getting pulled under, like, that would have been a cool kind of wacky dream. Oh, remember she talked about that dream. This is what that fucking dream was. Oh, my God. Imagine that. Wow. Writing.
Oh, my dick is so hard from good TV.
Oh, my God. It's fucking blasting out of my Levi's. But no, that's not what happens. Easy for us to say, right? A couple of fucking asshole podcasters pretending they can write a show.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. That's what we do. Too fucking bad. Just like every jerk off has an opinion on sports. We're that guy too.
Of course.
And you're that guy too, listener. Don't pretend you ain't.
That's right.
And writers are that way too. Don't let them fool you. They're fucking people too. They're not special. All right, my
just
rant.
Fucking burn them all down.
That's right.
All fronts.
That's right. I'm like fucking Kaiser Soze. I'll kill
Total
my own
war.
Fucking family. I don't even give a shit. than give you the pleasure. Wow, I need to chill out, I think. So, anyway, blah, 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 blah. So, welcome to the first day of the rest of your life. This is Negan and Sasha. He tells her she's smart, hot, dignified, and someone who doesn't gain to suffer one goddamn fool. Tuck in. It's going to be a big day. Sasha's last meal, by the way. Nice blueberry pancake. Think about that shit. Sasha and Maggie on the stump watching the sunrise. I don't really understand that, but we'll get back to it. Back to Sasha listening to her music. By the way, this is all dotted throughout the episode.
Oh, yeah.
I got to go. More Abe flashback. Sasha had a dream you die. This whole thing. Back to Negan, punishments, how we built everything we have here. All of this Sasha shit is her remembering things, her talking to Negan, her sitting on a stump with Maggie, right?
Yeah, that is it. And I do really like Negan in these scenes and in this episode. I think Negan is very good and well used in this, except for a fucking couple nitpicks I have towards the very end. But on the whole, I think this is another good example of how to use Negan as your villain, and have him be interesting and not overused and losing all effect.
You prefer him, based on my observations, in these one-on-one scenarios than you do in the big group. Yeah, yeah, I get you.
I mean, in those times, you should have them, but just not so much. They shouldn't be the meat of all of the time with Negan. And I like, you know, I also, in a way, kind of like his just inexplicable fondness for Sasha. And he tries to play it off of like, oh, it's not a man-woman thing. Even if you had a dick, I'd still feel this way. And I'm like, that's a lie, for one. that's not true. But I do like this just kind of weird, like, he doesn't fully just trust her. Like, he doesn't just hand her off, you know. He's not careless with her exactly, but I like how he just, I guess I'm saying I can buy him being taken off guard by finally a plan of his not going the way he wanted it to.
Yeah. By the way, Sasha and Abraham couldn't have less chemistry. Couldn't have less chemistry. I believe they fucked about as much as I believe that the Holocaust was fake. No chemistry whatsoever. None.
Not a lot. No. Yeah. Not really.
Zero. She fucking sits back from him, kind of recoiled, like she doesn't quite know what's going to happen next. And he's, I don't know, man. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. And I'm not blaming actors and actresses. Maybe that's just the way it goes. I'm just not feeling it. Just not feeling it between them. And that's, again, they're trying to show us this now, and we're seeing it, and it just lacks chemistry. I mean, if you told me they were fucking, I'd be like, no shit. I did not pick up on that.
Really?
Really? He's fucking her? That's crazy.
That's the other fucking Achilles heel of the Sasha character, and, you know, the actress, I think Sonequa Martin Green, that's her name, I think.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, it's tough thing for her, because they're just like, all right, be this character who's a mannequin person who's just numb. Be numb and feeling shitty all the time. Have no charisma because you don't have the energy to muster it. Go. Mm. Like, ugh. Like, you kind of, it's like being boring is like part of your character. So that
Well,
sucks.
She's probably thinking of Strange New Worlds and New Civilizations, to be honest
with
you.
That is it. She's like, I'm fucking done with this shit fucking covered stinky zombie world. I'm gonna have a spaceship.
I'm going to be trekking across the stars. Know what I mean? Wink, wink. Well. Yeah, couldn't have less chemistry.
Oh, you know what? I got to say, though, Karen in the chat just brought up a good point, I think. She said he's fascinated by her and the fact that she got into Sanctuary by herself. Rick and company are doing a lot more damage than any group they've come across. And I do think that's actually a decent thing to remember. That Negan would be thinking this about Sasha. And that would be thinking about this, about the group at large. That, you know, all of the other very brief stories of resistance we've heard about from other groups, they were just quashed, like Rick and company the first time, and quashed immediately, and that was it. And there was no further resistance. The Oceanside people fucking ran away. The kingdom made a secret pact to just, okay, don't come in our doors, and we'll trade with you. And the Hilltop is totally under their thumb. Rick and company, I think it's, you know, no secret at this point that Negan knows they've been fucking stealing bombs, fucking doing this and that. You know, they're actually starting to muster up this resistance. He probably knows via Gregory, which we never really find out in this episode, but it's implied. But we find out, you know, that more than likely Gregory's been telling him all these things, all of what Rick and, you know, Maggie have been planning. And so he probably actually has an idea of the amount of guns. And he, for one, it's revealed later in the episode, obviously, that the garbage people fucking betrayed him, and he knows all those details. So just knowing the amount of shit that Rick and company are putting together to resist him, I think he is probably, it's on his mind. And he's like, that's why he's treating the situation differently, and why he's looking at her as like, huh, you really were ready to just fucking charge in here after me, even though it's a dumb mission, you're going to die, you didn't give a fuck. So I think there, that particular nature of this situation kind of has him just like, that's why, you know, I don't buy it as, maybe he's right. Maybe he is actually being honest. He's like, I'm not attracted. It's not a guy-girl thing. He's just like, huh, you are a fascinating, weird little creature. Like, you are totally ready to just dive into the slaughter to come get me.
Yeah, and I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think he's saying that it's not just because if you weren't a chick, I'd be into you too. I think he's kind of admitting he is, in a sense. But yeah. But your point is really well taken, which begs the question, okay, you just said that she was able to get in there, suicide mission. Rosita tried to shoot him, suicide mission. Dude, I don't want to get to it now because I want to stay on Sasha, but I'm hoping somebody can help me understand why would Negan ever get out of a truck at the wall where they're manning the fucking walls? Dude, Alexandria is a big fucking place. There are a lot of roofs. There are a lot of fucking trees. There are a ton of sight lines. How do you know not one guy's up there with a 30-06 where they just fucking make your head into a canoe?
Cocky bad guy bullshit.
You think so?
I guess. I mean,
oh, man, if that was me, I would be in that truck the whole fucking time.
You know,
when Eugene showed up with a bullhorn, I was like, absolutely, absolutely. This makes total sense to me.
Yeah, that Negan's not standing out there and that he's like, hey. Well, and to his credit, I think he doesn't step out there until he thinks all the garbage people have a gun on everybody.
Fair enough.
But your point is, a lone sniper, though, he's
toast.
One loner, that's it. That's all it takes.
And you can't cover all the angles. I know Karen's saying Eugene in front of him. Yeah, in front of him, that's fucking 15 degrees of 360 degrees he can get shot from. You know, like there could be somebody anywhere. It's just way too risky. Anyway, that's me. But
you have your fucking evil apocalypse dictator Pope mobile with the fucking bulletproof dome.
Fucking A, I would, dude. Especially if all your intelligence points to, oh, they're gathering guns. Oh, they're going to get crazy. Oh, they're going to fucking fuck around. I wouldn't be walking out there with my goddamn baseball bat. Negan's been pretty careful for most of the show. But anyway, back to Sasha. So the Sasha and Abe stuff, more shots of Sasha and Maggie sitting on the tree. You know what's going to happen, how this is going to end. We are going to walk out that door together. We kick shit and eat snakes, Abraham says, right? It was nice to hear some of Abraham's one-liner things.
That's true.
It was nice to see that. I like how Sasha insists just once we sit one out, Maggie has got to take care of Maggie. I think that was such a realistic thing to say. I think that was probably the best piece of dialogue in this whole fucking thing.
I do agree that it was a good line.
Which
I want to hear people say shit like that more.
Me
often.
Too. Yeah. Me too. This show really, really needs people to be a little bit more realistic and a tiny bit more self-centered like they are in real life, especially when they are under tremendous stress.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool. It would be cool to see Sasha say something like, Maggie can sit this one out, man. Like, I had a dream. It fucking spooked me. I don't want to go out today. I want to fucking sit this one out. Like, that shit is real. That is my favorite part of this whole part right here, is that. Her saying that, I was like, that's cool. Like, that's the kind of real dialogue I want to hear in Walking Dead more. That made sense to me.
Yeah.
And then he has to make her come around, which I could also see, right? And then him calling her on and saying, hey, I know you didn't mean that shit. Right. It was a moment of fucking weakness, and I like that. That's the kind of vulnerability that I think makes for three-dimensional characters and more interesting stories. That's what there we need to see more of.
That's what I'm saying. If we had gotten an elongated version of that, you know, 7-8 episodes, really even more than that, a full season of them growing this relationship, not just a look in every other episode of them winking at each other and patting each other on the ass or whatever the hell they used to do, you know, like of them actually having this dynamic and getting along and building something, you know, real so that we actually see her lose something valuable with Abe and, you know, could really buy into the fact that she lost a lover already, started to have another one, and lost him again. That, yeah, okay, I can buy that you are suicidal.
Sure.
So Abe kisses her. Oh, back to Sasha, who says it felt real, like we lost this, right? And this just started. So again, Sasha's very, very afraid of this premonition, so to speak. I mean, coincidental premonition. But Abe kisses her, and that'd be zero chemistry. I like the way you call bullshit, so let me return the favor, because I know you didn't like hearing yourself say Maggie can take care of Maggie. We lay our big meaties on the chopping block ahead of someone else's. It is always for someone else. If one of us is going to kick, there better be a point to it. So maybe there was a point to all this, whether or not on the battlefield or a beach or somewhere out there today. Maggie's carrying the future. That's good stuff out of Abe. That's how I imagine Abe is all the time.
Exactly. I mean, that is still one of my favorite touches from the first episode of the season was Abe fucking giving the peace sign as he went out. Like, that was like, I like that he is this consistent guy always.
Sure. And then you're right, Sasha says, I knew this was how this was going to end, right? Oh my, that is a living, Abe says. Sasha calls him an idiot. We cut back to Eugene and Sasha talking outside. We learn that there is a 2-hour drive. So holy shit, I didn't realize that. Alexandria is 2 hours away from the sanctuary?
Shit.
That is hard to fucking manage.
That's a lot.
That's a long fucking way. That's why you got to leave spies in the goddamn places. But gives her the iPod. I truly wish. Oh, Eugene calls himself a selfish coward, but that he does think of others on occasion. I truly wish I measured up. And then Sasha says, you still can, Eugene. I'm not giving up. Not on you. And then Negan tells Sasha that she just needs a bottle of water. And that's when I was like, she's dead.
See, you're smarter than me. I didn't even think about that. I was like, oh, okay. And then it was finally when she was in the coffin and getting sweatier over the time. I was like, wait a minute. Like, it took me a little more viewings of her being all sweaty in the dark. I'm like, wait, is she going to kill herself?
Yep. And this leads to her. I mean, we're cutting back and forth, but this leads to her taking the fucking poison.
She does indeed.
Yum, 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 yummy. Yummy poison.
Nummy, nummy, nummy.
Well, that is Sasha, man. Sasha's dead.
That's it. That is it.
She's fucking out.
I guess we can get to post Sasha later.
Yeah.
Do I round ourselves back to what? To Rick and Company?
Yeah. Let's do that. So we'll go right to Rick dealing with Dwight. That's the first thing that happens to Alexandria.
Yes, indeed.
What are your thoughts on old Dwighty boy? I mean, I know the fucking little toy soldier kind of gives away at the end.
Yeah.
But
I do think he's genuine. I think, you know, like we talked about last week, that his sole reason of being involved with the Saviors and allowing himself to be under Negan's thumb was to at least guarantee the physical safety of his wife. You know, he thought that, if I am Negan's lieutenant, I do what Negan says. And even though it's like, yeah, he's boning my wife, but that also inherently means that she's safe and she's like protected and valuable and close to Negan and up inside of this really, you know, protected place. And the moment that's gone, I buy him being like, why am I going to go back? Like, what am I doing? Why would I still torture myself with this guy who fucked my wife in front of me and burned my face and is, you know, basically ruined my life, except for giving me the physical necessities of living. Okay. Fuck this. I buy it. I buy it. And I do think that he didn't know. I think it's believable that, you know, just one of Negan's random lieutenants doesn't know the full details of all of the workings of a massive plan and how the Garbage Alliance people are going to fucking twist and be on Negan's side. I buy him not knowing that stuff and him just kind of basically being like, I can give you what I can give you.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all that Dwight would defect, especially once Sherry was out of the picture. Yeah, I think that was the leverage over him that Negan had, because Dwight couldn't just leave. I think Negan knows that Dwight just can't leave once Sherry is still there because it's too risky.
Yeah.
Right? There's too much risk. Like, you don't know what kind of repercussions that's going to have against Sherry, who you obviously love and still love, right? She's so hot, the hottest girl you'd ever be with, right? Let's be real here. There's no fucking way Dwight would ever have another Sherry, especially with that fucking Freddy Krueger face.
Yeah, not now.
No. So I think it really makes a lot of sense that Dwight would be a little bit more of a little bit more unpredictable when Sherry's out of the picture, which means that Negan should have kind of thought about that. He should have considered, the leverage I had over this fucking guy was her, and she's gone. That has to be in his head, right?
True. True. I can imagine him keeping a closer eye on him now.
For sure, man. You've humiliated this guy. You fucked his wife for God knows how long. You burned his face off. You treat him like shit all the time. What do you think's going to happen?
Yeah.
Right? He's a human being. Like, what do you think? How do you think this is going to go down? He tried to flee from you. You brought him back. I mean, shit, dude.
Vengeance.
What do you think is going to happen? How do you think this is going to end, man? Like, fuck. Now that the woman's out of the picture, this guy could be a total loose cannon. Like, Dwight could just kill him right now and say, I don't care, kill me.
Yeah, fuck it. Everybody shoot me, I don't give a fuck.
Jesus. This is a risky business Negan's running, I'll tell you that much.
I know. So many angles.
There's a lot of people who, when you push them to oblivion, will just be like, I'll trade my life for his, I don't care. Right?
Yeah, totally.
Fuck, man. Happens all the time, actually. So,
shit.
It kind of fucked up to say, but so Darren's like, kill him, yeah. Easy for her to say. She doesn't have the knife up to his eyeball. But interesting, this little connection between Daryl and Dwight. Unfortunately, it was kind of predictable. I didn't think for a second Daryl was going to kill him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's one of the only pieces of tension that didn't work for me this episode. The rest I thought was pretty cool, especially the coffin stuff. But yeah, man, I liked seeing this stuff. I like how they are connected. It's kind of,
yeah,
they're similar in a sense.
Yeah. Although, and I mean this, and not in an insulting way, I think Dwight is in a lot of ways more clever than Daryl. I think Daryl is a more
100%
to the core, just loyal person. Like, he's not going to flip. When we saw that final ultimate test of, does Daryl ever flip? Does he take the pill like Eugene? Nope.
Right.
He doesn't. He withstood the fucking God knows how long of being in a dark cage, getting fucking blasted with music 24/7.
Unfortunately, Daryl's most interesting plots are behind him, unless they cook something up new. Like, when they weren't sure about him, they're like, man, he's just this weird hick. Like, he's fucking fighting with us. He's got a really fucked up brother. Like, all that intrigue with his brother and that relationship with the governor and what that meant and the drive between them, that was good shit.
Yeah, I did.
And then it was like he became a heartthrob, and now it's like, keep him around. Fucking keep him around if we want women to keep watching this shit.
That stinky, stinky heartthrob.
Yeah, and you too, almost hot, Scott.
But anyway. I think that, yeah, and Dwight is somebody who has been having to do a lot of calculation and a lot of manipulation and acting to survive. And that's something that Daryl can't even put on. I think he's an inherently less authentic person, for better or worse, because he's ready to be deceptive. Even now, even in his plan to, I'm going to help the good guys, fuck Negan. He's doing it in a just fucking underhanded, deceptive way. Like, that's something that... you know, there's like a purity in Daryl that might be stupid in a way, but it's a purity that I don't think Dwight ever really reclaims.
Sure, I get that. Yeah. Well, we work together, we can stop him. Negan's coming soon tomorrow. 3 trucks probably. I can buy you some time, chop down some trees. If you can take them out, that's where we start, right? So Rick learns of Sanctuary by name, and then Dwight talks about taking them down outpost by outpost with the help of the workers. So Dwight knows the pulse of the people, and he knows they'll flip. As I've said, there's no way that these guys are going to stay loyal if he drops.
That's it.
So later Rick tells Daryl, we just started this whole thing. And then Daryl promises that he's going to kill Dwight either slowly or quickly. One way or the other, he's killing Dwight. He's made that promise. So I guess that's what we're going to see. Daryl's killing Dwight. I think that's something that's going to happen. We're hearing that explicitly. Whether or not Dwight kills Negan, I'm not really sure.
I will put a 20 down right here that the show is not going to pull the trigger on him killing Dwight. Like, now I would be like, that's a ballsy fucking move. Like, The fucking season-long war is over. We fucking, they beat the Saviors. Like, this is, we're like two episodes into season nine now, and Dwight's finally like, oh, you know, I'm glad to have earned you guys' trust and fought alongside you, and Rick's like shaking his hand, and then Daryl just comes up and cuts his throat from behind. He's like, I fucking told you I'd kill you. And just spraying his blood all over everybody. And they're like, Jesus Christ, he was a friend. He led our armies to victory. And he's like, fuck it. That would be some ballsy shit, but the show ain't gonna do it.
Are you saying the show lacks balls?
On occasion.
On occasion it does.
It grows them and loses them every now and again. Ebbs and
how
flows.
Fucking gangster would it have been if he just put that Bowie knife right through Dwight's eye?
And was like, fuck his help.
Fuck him. Fuck him. He's down on the ground twitching. Jesus Christ, they killed him? Holy shit.
They really did it.
That would have been badass.
Well, they could have probably used him, and that would have been a good, fine shit. Mm. There we go.
There we go. Well, the garbage people show up. Bongin ding dong bangin
bong dong wang bong bong. Weird Mad Max themes. Bang gong ping clang plung plink.
Nice caravan of trash on their bicycles. I mean, this is laugh out loud funny. Come on.
Yeah, no, when I saw their bikes.
I literally laughed out loud when I saw their bikes.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, like, no, I was actually watching this with friends. And they were like, huh, did they ride all the way from Portland? They fucking, they bike all the way there?
Dude, I would have laughed my ass off if it was any, imagine any other music cutting this. Like, if it was just a little bit sillier, the music. But it was laugh out loud funny.
Not full-blown yakety sax, but no. Something in.
Like, I just thought to myself, like, are these guys here for trash removal? Like, they show up in dump trucks. By the way, they're riding in the back of dump trucks, which seems dangerous to me. Don't pull that little lever, because we're going to get you crushed up in there. And then they all show up, and
I can just the frustration.
They're so dumb.
It's really just their whole talkie-talk thing.
Yes.
That's all it is.
If it wasn't for their fucking alien talkie-talks, I would feel so different about them. I'd be like, whoa, cool, bicycles and trash trucks. Like, I would even buy that. Like, they just picked up all these 10 speeds off the trash heap and they ride into town looking like, how fierce can they be? It's just hilarious to me.
Like, I'll admit, I do like the way they look, like the weird kind of like
their aesthetic
almost
is great.
Religious, like black aesthetic. Like, this shit's cool. I like how completely unconvinced by causes they are. That's what I was talking about at the top of the show of like, you know, one thing that I feel like this show is criticized for, and I think this is actually a fair criticism, is how, oh, hey, you've never met me before. I'm going to give a speech real quick. Now dedicate all your resources and your energy to helping me and my friends. Well, okay, fuck it. Like, sure. A lot of people are like, he gave one speech, now they're going to fight a war for him?
Yeah,
I love that. These people are like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. How about you get a bunch of guns for us, and then we just fuck you over, because I don't know you.
Yeah, like, exactly. Fuck
that. And I'm like, that's some gangster shit right there.
I like that.
I like that from them, man.
Yeah, don't get it twisted. Like, I like their aesthetic. I hate the way they talk. But I like that they are... I don't fucking care. We'll switch sides. I don't give a shit. Like, this is the better deal for us, for sure. 100%.
What I would like, you know, think about this. If they had some, like, completely different language. Like, and not, like, I'm not talking about, like, an invented fucking alien language.
Like a series of whistles and clicks?
Yeah. Whistles and clicks and claps and dances. But no, like, maybe some kind of, like, weird mixture of languages that doesn't even seem right. Like fucking Portuguese kind of like tinted version of English or something, or it's like they are using different words completely. And I would like the idea of them having their almost kind of their own coded language that is genuinely like you can't decipher it. But it's just the fact that it's like a lazy, like, me just out words leave.
Yeah, it's okay. Like caveman,
like,
shit.
It's just like me go, haha. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just one of those, like, why bother? Why bother? Like, what is this? It's not, you can't, it's not like a useful code or anything.
And how they all have it, that's so inexplicable. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
How does that happen?
The only way that would happen is if it's like some weird reinforced social group thing of like, no, this is how we all talk now. We talk that you must talk this way. And they're all like, okay, me talk way now.
It's silly.
I don't fucking know.
It's fucking silly.
It's silly. Yeah, like, there's no justification for it. Like, there's not. It's fucking silly.
I wonder what she says in bed.
So good. Good in me, Rick. Rick, be good one.
Out penis pull. What?
What with your fucking garbage pig Latin?
God damn it.
You're taking me out of the mood.
Well, anyway, the guards show up and she starts talking her nonsense. She wants to bone Rick, right?
She wants to bone Rick, yeah. This is, although, you know, it's funny in watching this episode again, knowing that they you know, turn on them. I like that she does this because she knows she's just fucking with them. Like, it's like a very dark sense of humor of like, I'm never going to fuck you. I'm probably going to kill you in 10 minutes. I just like her being an asshole to them for no reason. Like, I'm like, man, you're fucking badass. I like Jadis. Like, I like them. I do really like them. They just talk dumb.
They talk dumb. Yeah, I like her confidence for sure. She's super confident.
Super confident.
You know when I knew Michonne was in trouble this episode?
Ooh.
When she did not react strongly to this lady's overtures towards Rick.
Why do you say?
I knew she was in trouble. I knew she was. I knew there wasn't as much fighting her as I thought there was. She's a fucking great zombie killer, but I don't know if she's a great people killer. Not Michonne.
Well, she's trying to tiptoe around this garbage alliance, this trash heap of an alliance,
and not fuck it up.
She's like, I'm going to kill this bitch as soon as I get the chance, but I'm going to let her think that she can maybe break off a piece. Yeah, maybe.
She's like, I don't want to upset the diplomatic orders around here between the Walking Dead, our friends here, and the garbage.
But don't fucking turn your back on me because I'll rip your tit off. All right, that's it. That's my man. I'm a fucking Bostonian guy now.
Wow.
I don't know. They all turn into that.
I guess.
Every voice I do.
Michonne should have been like, something. Give her like, just give her the fucking psycho peepers. Anything.
True.
But nothing.
True.
I was like, oh, but, Michonne's getting weak.
Oh, she's still all shook up from thinking Rick got ate up.
Anyway, we see Daryl, Rosita, and Aaron setting up the explosives. Which begs the question.
How the fuck did the garbage people defuse them?
Fuck, did they defuse those?
They were not keeping close eye on that shit, I guess. You know, and I rewatched that scene and was really looking in the background.
Me too. I watched the truck
like,
the whole time. I couldn't figure it out.
And I was also very much like, who's in the background? Who do we see in the background while they are, you know, setting it up? And you can make out Tobin standing on the wall, and you can also make out a few of the trash people standing around him. So I can totally believe that they have eyes on it, and they would know where it is. But how do you get one of your guys in there? I don't know. I mean,
yeah, because
I don't know.
You're standing outside, right? Three of those people are setting up the explosives. You got live explosives in there. You walk out, you go, when you pull that truck door down, boom, and you shut it. I don't know about you, I'd probably lock it.
Right?
So nobody goes in there and fucks around or trips it by accident. You lock it. You don't need a Carl and Enid sneaking off to do a little fucking, HJ action on each other. Little fucking Hotel Juliet in the truck. Know what I'm saying?
Oh my God.
Know what I mean?
I'm scared to do anything else, but let's heavy pet for a while inside this bombed out U-Haul truck.
Yeah. Somebody's saying the girl put her cigar out on the wire.
Oh, I did not catch that.
Really? Where? Who's that in the chat saying that? Matthew. Matthew.
Me.
Chat Matthew. Where? At what point does he do that? When they're in there? Or is it? Because I thought it was a remote detonator. I thought it was like an electronic, infrared type of thing. I didn't realize it was, I'm not sure.
Like a wired. Huh. Yeah, I'm looking for it. I'm scrubbing through trying to find that spot.
Scrub-a-lub-dub. Rub-a-dub-tub. I'm watching them set it up now. Like, you have Rosita and them. They're cutting the wire. We see Daryl wrapping it up. There must be a wire that comes out of the truck and goes somewhere. I thought it was a remote detonator inside the truck. I didn't realize there was a line back to Alexandria.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah. I can't find the spot where... Because I do remember now that I think about it, Jadis smoking. It's Jadis smoking, right? Smoking a cigar?
I thought so. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure somebody will tell us exactly where and send it in, and we'll have to go back and look at it. But I didn't quite understand how that worked. Yeah. But
they fucking defuse it.
They defuse it. That's the fucking important part. So, which means they had explosives in the truck, and then they must have run a wire out, which is weird because when what's your name hits the plunger, well, plunger's not the right description.
her fucking Wile E. Coyote Acme plunger.
Yeah, she doesn't. It's not. It looks like just a wireless device, right? That's what I thought it was. I thought they were gonna do some fucking Al Qaeda shit and use like a cell phone to detonate it. But
right.
Right, but no.
Huh, anyway, interesting.
Doesn't matter. Moving along. So if we're wrong on that, we're wrong on that. I apologize. But we see Negan's men chopping up fallen trees with the chainsaw they brought. Eugene wants to, which I guess makes sense, right? If you're 2 hours away, you have to assume, what if there's road debris? You must have cutting tools and shit, because you never know.
Never know, yeah.
So I don't want to call bullshit on that now that I know it's a two-hour fucking drive. They must have a ton of shit with them.
Yeah, I do like that fact was dropped, because we can now start to get a sense of how far away things are actually from each other.
Yeah, I gotcha. And then we have Eugene wanting to slow their jets and cool their roll. Michonne sets up her sniper friend who is like, worry, question mark?
Worry? Me like talk good? You like me talk?
Michonne says no. Michonne talks about sight lines, and then the lady's like, okay, and moves like 6 feet away. Michonne's been like, that's not what I meant.
Idiot.
But I'm not sure you understand my tongue.
Also, bitch, what did you do before this? Huh? You forgot how to speak? You're probably a fucking mail carrier 2 years ago.
Nobody fucking says anything like... What would have been amazing? Like, imagine if they just had a meeting. That's what I'm saying. There's never a meeting. There's never a discussion. Like, Rick and Michonne and a couple others are like, so we're going to bring these people in our alliance. And...
Yeah.
They kind of, they're fucking weird, right? Right? Yes. Oh, whew, yeah. I'm glad you said something. Yeah, I know. I was wondering if you're going to say something. I didn't mean to say anything, but they're fucking weird, right? Yes. Absolutely. Like, nobody talks.
I didn't want
like,
to step on any toes or nothing, but goddamn, they talk like Yoda.
Right? Like, you'd think they'd have this conversation, but it never happens. It's so silly TV. Like, nobody ever says they're fucking out there, right? Can we trust them? Are you sure? I mean, they say weird shit. They all do. Nobody asks. Nobody asks what the fuck happened. That's so unbelievable to me. Just bonkers. Nobody says anything. Like, man, he's kind of fucking weird, right?
Definitely weird. Don't trust him.
Karen's saying she just rewatched it with Tamiel. Where is it? Can you tell me the time signature in the episode? When you, Karen, please type the time signature in. I don't know. But anyway, we see Michonne doing her stuff.
Oh, I think I just might have found it. Hold on. Hold up. All right. Scrub over to 2135.
2135. Roger that.
Yep. All right. I think this is it. So 21. Maybe. Well, you know what? I can't tell if there's a wire there or not.
I'm at 2122.
That's wait a while. 2135, 2140.
It's not Tamiel. I just see a lady putting out a cigar on the ground.
Yeah.
You don't see it explicitly going, like, hurting anything. And you'd think somebody would notice her if there was a fucking detonite cord over there.
Right. Like, hey, could you not? Hey, could you not smoke the cigar and all the dynamite and fucking full of that in the truck? That'd be cool.
That'd be the first thing, right? Yo. She puts it out with the dynamite and just sets the wick.
Yeah,
oh, fuck.
I'm glad you're confident enough to break out the It's a Boys, but we haven't even started the fucking battle yet, and we still have a truck full of dynamite, so could you not? Jesus.
Oh, fuck off. So, everyone's lined up and waiting. They discuss the holding of the wall. Eugene and the cavalry arrive.
That is it. Oh, dude, I gotta say, loved this moment of Eugene rolling up.
Loved it.
This is fucking excellent.
I love this.
Just the look
on
everybody's face. And like you were saying earlier, I buy that this is how Negan says, okay, we roll in you first. You're my guy. I want them to have the shock of you being up here, you being on the truck. And also, I ain't getting out until I fucking know what's going on. I'm going to stay in the truck.
Yeah. I love Rosita's expression when she sees Eugene. I really like it. You can tell she's kind of hurt here because this is her companion from the beginning.
She's mad, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
I like that a lot. Rick is confused. He's like, who is that guy? Was he in our group? I don't remember ever talking to him one time. What's his name? Anthony? Ernest, is it?
Ernest, you can come back in our group and you can be the... What did Ernest do? Psst,
what did he
do? You can be the farmer or whatever you were.
Oh, Mr. Sorghum. Sorghum? Sorghum, that's him. Oh, damn. Sorry, man. Who do you roll in with?
Like, you were friends with Abraham, right? You knew you're Abraham, Dolph Smooth and shit.
I'm so mad at everyone's expressions at Eugene. I'm like, fuck you, Daryl. Fuck you, Rick. Fuck you, everybody who never said three words to the guy. Go fuck yourself. So
oh, fuck.
Anyway.
So, I like it, though. I do like the effect of the scene of one of your guys is not just, oh, we have to look out for one of our own. He's been captured. We have to get him back. Nope. He's like, nah, man. You're the ones being dumb. I'm on their side now. At least, and I do still believe, as much as I think that Eugene has fully adopted, yes, I am on board. I'm not really going to try to help Alexandrians. I do believe him in that he's not trying to hurt them either. Mm-hmm. He's not like going out of his way to be like, yeah, I'm a bad guy now. Let's fucking kill Rick and all of them. I think it is, you know, I like how earlier there was that good moment of him when they're clearing the trees. He walks up to Negan is essentially like, I think he proposes this idea. I think he's like, sure. Let me try to talk to him and at least, you know, cool off the situation. Let's try that first and then we can go with your plan.
Yeah.
And I like that Negan allows this, and you know, it shows how much trust Negan, you know, maybe not quite, maybe trust isn't quite the word, but he's allowing him this responsibility. It's a bit of a risk and he's letting him do it.
I like this shot too. Like there's a shot of them on the wall. And by the way, you can see the Trust a Home box truck. It's within eye shot easily of where they're all on the tower. So again, I know I'm still on this dynamite thing. But the flatbed that Eugene is on with the coffin pulls right in front, and then you got the two other trucks behind it, like a deuce and a half, and then another box truck behind that.
Yeah, yeah. No, if that thing would have gone off, shit, it would have done the trick.
Mm. And it's funny when I'm looking at this shot where it's kind of like a cool shot. It's showing Rick's back, Tamiel kneeling down, and then it's right at like 26:59 if you're watching on Amazon. And you can see, like, oh my God, there's so many places. There's all these homes in a full street leading up to the gates of Alexandria, that burned out building outside of Alexandria. There's so many places where they could have set up guys and just totally fucking surrounded him when he came in and parked at the gate and just cut them all down. Anyway. But
I am still, like I was saying on the last episode, I am still all for... Why? Don't even let him get this close. You just have that shit lined up in the road like a quarter mile away. And you have a spotter being like, all right, they're about to roll over it. 3, 2, 1, click. Blow them all up. You never even exchange words with them. Fuck them.
Worst case, they could do some fucking Wild West shit and just be hanging on to dynamite and just start throwing sticks to dynamite over there with lit fuses.
Oh, fuck. That's cool.
Get Wild West on that, bitch.
Get some three tinted Yuma.
Think about that shit. You got guys right in them trees over there. You could just roll them right on that deuce and a half. Boom! See ya, bitch. Yeah.
Fuck. Now I want a Saving Private Ryan scene where they're fucking sticking out.
Yes.
Sticking their tar socks full of fucking C4.
Oh, that's so gangster. Cool. And by the way, and Rick's like, oh yeah, it's Eugene. That's right. I remember now that I can see you. Eugene's looking good, right? He's got nice dark hair, the black jacket, the black coat. He's looking good.
Look like he grew a spine, Ernest, Eugene, whatever.
And then Rick really wrestles with the decision for her to fucking push the button on the remote detonator that has a line that apparently was burned by a cigar that I didn't see. And she's like, sorry, puto. Pushes the button. Nothing happens. Nope.
That is it.
Nothing happens. And oops, think I'm fucking stupid, Hans. That's all I thought about right here.
That's good. Oops.
Think I'm Oopsie. Fucking stupid, Hans. Let you walk around with a loaded gun. But
fucking love it.
And then the garbage people turn on their allies.
Huh? What?
And they're all in perfect positions because Rick is dumb.
That is it. Fucking spring up. Everybody's got a gun on somebody. Everybody's covered. This is why I do buy Negan stepping out, because I think that's part of his coordinated plan with the trashos. He's like, you guys are going to be, you need to make sure that literally every single one of the Alexandrians that has a gun, you have a guy with a gun on them. And so that when we snap our fingers, everybody is covered. There's no lone wolf that's going to take a shot at me.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's thinking. It's cocky, bad guy bullshit that I believe.
Yeah.
I
think, it makes cocky, a little more sense. It makes a little more sense when it happens after the fact. Totally. It's still pretty risky to not assume there's a sniper out there going to fucking whack your ass. But yeah, they open up the thing and they walk in there and just grab the explosives. And the detonator that she's holding is not wired to anything. It's definitely remote. So I'm not sure what happened there, but whatever. Chalk it up as TV, whatever. I like how Michonne's taking aim and then she realizes what's up and turns around like, oh shit.
That is it. You're awesome. Fucking crazy trash lady. Your one is shitty too. They're all went shitty.
We win. She got that gun right on her. Not sure why she's looking through the scope at that range, but she does have the gun right on her. And then Negan says some funny shit. You ever hear the one about the stupid little prick Rick, named Rick or whatever he says, who thought he knew shit but didn't know shit? He gave everyone that he gave a shit about killed. So Negan's pretty pissed.
Yeah.
Here.
And this is like I was saying earlier, this is good Negan shit. Like, I don't feel like this is over the top too much. This is, I totally see him doing this, and I like him still fucking swaying around in his fucking bad guy charm. He knows anytime he's got his audience of his own people out there, and especially, you know, when he has to be the dictator, not just to his own people, but to the people he's fucking oppressing, he's got to roll it out big. He's the showman.
Yep. We see Tamiel says made better deal or made a better deal, but Negan says some Negan stuff. Oh, you just tried to blow us up. Me, I get my people, but Eugene. And Rick's like, oh, that's his fucking name. Damn, Eugene's his name.
Shit,
you people are animals. I fucking like that. universe gives you a sign, and you just shove your finger right up its ass. He laughs. He's pleased with himself. Dwight is not laughing. And they reveal
the coffin. Big, crazy coffin.
Yep.
This is it.
Yep. Out comes the coffin. I feel like I'm watching The Prestige over here. Right? They're going to do a fucking magic trick with the coffin.
Fucking Hugh Jackman's going to fall out of a glass container any second here.
He already drowned. No.
David Bowie, help.
Shit. Anyone? Andy Serkis, are you there? What's with all the top hats? Well,
that's a good movie.
Science Fiction Film Podcast does that. You guys should listen. But
real, real professional name drop.
What an enterprising young man you are.
Fuck.
So Negan presents his coffin, and he demands every gun, every grain of lemonade.
Mm-hmm. This is what I'm talking about, cocky bad guy bullshit, because he doesn't need to do any of this. He doesn't need to be in a coffin. He could have just had her riding along, and he comes out and drags her out and says, all right, look, we got her too, so don't fuck around. We have more, you know, bargaining chips here. But no, it's putting her in a fucking shiny coffin, having her out there standing it up like this, making this big show of it. This is totally Negan's strategy. And this is, I do think, the angle at which to get him for his downfall of, like, this guy will make tactical errors to try and put on big airs.
Mm.
I think it's possible.
Yep, I think you're probably right about that. I want a person of your own choosing for Lucille. But I think this is why Negan carries himself the way he does, the way he's like, oh, and he leans back. It's because in case at any minute you could take a sniper shot and miss. Right?
He's always got to be dodging one. Whoa, there it comes.
I like it. That's how they're going to have to do practice. They're going to have to set up targets that actually lean at random intervals. It's like how you practice for the Negan mission.
They just attach it to one of those little birds that dips its head down, a little toy bird that drinks your drink. Boop, 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 boop. See if you can get him.
awesome sauce. Just because they brought her a casket doesn't mean she has to leave in one.
and so I guess we should just, because I mean, he doesn't say too much more here other than he's saying,
"You suck ass, Rick. You really do."
Which fucking did make me laugh.
That made me laugh too.
You suck. I'm winning. Oh, fuck. But yeah, he says, "I got to get my Daryl back. I want that pool table and all the cues. Want all my shit."
And Sasha Zombie comes out.
And you are not a fan of this moment, you say. Or are you?
Oh, I don't mind this.
Yeah? Oh, okay. Because, yeah. I did. I liked the, you know, I believe in him being this taken off guard by her. There's no reason for him to be expecting this.
What I'm not a fan of is her, is the idea being floated out there that this was actually some sort of strategic decision by her in attempts to give her friends an advantage. I don't think that had anything to do with her decision.
I think that's purely
happenstance. Anybody could have opened that. It could have been fucking Simon. And what if she just assumed that somehow?
I think she gambled on it. Yeah. I mean, I think it's probably like 70-30, 70 being 70% of it, her being like, "I'm just ready to die and this is it." And 30 being like, "Maybe my zombie self gets to snap at Negan here because it's probably going to be him opening me up."
Maybe, but maybe not. Rick, come on over. It would have been just as believable. Just as believable if he said, "Rick, come on over and open up Coffin and get your girl back." Like, I could have seen him saying, like, that exact fucking dialogue. He leans, "Come on over, get your girl back, open up the coffin, she's still doing good." And then fucking Sasha attacks Rick. That could have just as easily been a thing to me.
It's true.
You know?
it's a shitty gamble. It's a selfish gamble. I mean, it's what she's doing is inherently, "I'm just ready to clock out. I don't care about the effects and the ramifications to anybody else. I'm ready just to fucking do it."
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind.
That's what her whole mission, you know, going into the place was. Yeah, this is probably going to fuck over everybody back in Alexandria. I'm the lone wolf they know is from there in here attacking people. She just doesn't care.
I don't mind the act of her offing herself.
Yeah,
I think what my criticism of the episode is them trying to make us feel something by injecting these tidbits of a relationship at the end point. Right?
Yeah.
It's too little too late. You know, it's like when the relationship's over, it's not like, "Oh, we're going to fucking have date night every week." Fuck off. We should have had date night every week fucking years ago. It's too late for date night. Right? It's just not going to work. We're beyond that. And that's kind of what I feel like is we're kind of beyond them making me try to care about Sasha. I don't mind that she takes the fucking cyanide and offs herself because we're going to explicitly just believe in the metaphor of, you know, "I saw you go under, and when I was looking for you, I went under," which is exactly what we're seeing the metaphor is play out. Abraham's death is the death of Sasha in a weird sense, which is weird because they were going out for like 2 weeks. But what are you going to do, right? So I don't mind that. I'm just saying I find it really unrealistic that in this moment, anybody that has a gun on them simultaneously seizes on this opportunity to turn around and get away from the people who have them dead to rights. That's fucking dumb.
Yeah.
So it's at this point in the episode where I had to say to myself, I need to just accept Walking Dead for the fucking shenanigans. Because if I'm going to be critical of everyone in unison turning around and killing their attackers who are apparently only the fucking trash people, only the trash people are distracted by Walker Sasha because everyone else turns and opens fires on the people that have guns on their backs. Like in this weird Professor X is controlling them all moment. It's like, what the fuck? It was just the plan all along? I don't know.
Yeah. They're in perfect unity, Dean. They're striking in perfect unity.
I hate to be an asshole for a finale that's good, right? I'm sorry, guys. I know I'm being a fucking douche rocket right now, and I don't mean to be. But I just was like, wow, that happened. Everybody kind of turns, and, you know, when zombie Sasha jumps out, all fucking hell breaks loose. But all hell breaks loose when zombie Sasha jumps out.
Your favorite character, your favorite Walking Dead character, Tasha.
Everybody except Tamiel. Only Rick can't turn around and kill his attacker because we
need
Tamiel?
Wait, Jadis is on him.
Oh, Jadis. I'm sorry. Yeah. Only Jadis. Damn, I've been calling Tamiel Jadis this whole episode. Jadis Tamiel. I meant Jadis the whole time. I'm sorry. But that's my point. Only Rick can't turn around and blow away Jadis because Jadis is a main character. We don't care about these other unnamed assholes. They can all get wasted.
Oh, they can get wasted.
But you see what I'm saying? Like, this is just fucking dumb. Like, everybody turns around except Rick because Rick's got a main character on him. If Jadis was down on somebody else, right, that person, it would be different. Rick would have killed the person behind him. I don't know. I'm being an asshole. I'm sorry. I just can't allow it to fucking be
to go by unmentioned.
I have to mention it. It would be disingenuous for me to go, yeah, blah, 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 blah. But I will say,
I do like to think that we don't see, because we see lots of Alexandrians dead by the end of this, and I do think some of them probably were like, oh, I'll whip around too, and bang, and just caught one in the face from their garbage person. Like, there's probably some that didn't fare as well.
Yeah, fair enough. That's fine. I'm down with that.
By the way,
it looks like fucking Rosita got lit up, but that was kind of framed weird.
I remember in that moment, I was like, whoa, is Rosita just dead? She just caught one? But no, she's just, I got like winged, I guess.
The only one who knows how to handle a firearm in this fucking show is Carl, apparently.
Dude, yeah, he...
The only one with short controlled bursts.
He did some good shit in that moment, man.
I mean, I know he's braced... Yeah, him turning around and shooting was kind of cool. But him bracing the rifle on the thing and going... like little hammer pairs and short bursts. They gave me a boner, I'm not going to lie.
He was all of one movement away from fucking center axis fucking John Wick movement with that pistol. And if he'd done that, I would have, he could have been full blown winning me back.
Meanwhile, Daryl and everyone else with an AK just sprays and prays.
Good thing we have infinite bullets.
So I've shot an AK a few times, and I shot my friend Nate's AK. And his is like super tricked out. It has all kinds of beautiful toys on it and sights and stocks and triggers and all this shit. It ain't like a stock AK. So it's pretty fucking accurate as AKs go. And dude, that motherfucker, it's not a full auto gun. Obviously, that's illegal.
Yeah.
But like even pulling the trigger one time, like it's like, fuck. And his is so smooth. Dude, these dudes who are just like, I'm like, fucking, you're not hitting shit.
Exactly. That's what you're not seeing.
Shit. That's like, you know, like suppressive fire shit. But totally. Yeah, it was pretty wild. I thought Carl was cool. I liked his little short controlled bursts. That gave me a boner. I liked that a lot. And then fucking Jada shoots Rick in the hip with her little SR9, I think it is, and then boots him off the tower. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, that was I liked how fucking consistently evil she is in this punch. Like, she is all the way.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. So we get this brief little firefight, but it ends rather rapidly, right? They get overwhelmed. They kind of get captured. And then we get this whole, like, Negan's going to kill Carl.
That is it. We roll into this. I do like the way they film this of, you know, it looks like for a moment here, a triumph is going to come. That wow, maybe they're going to push them back from this point right here. That this is the battle turning, and this will be a first minor victory that they get against them. And I love how it's shot again, basically like they're being lined up on the very first night, slowly going over the dead bodies of their own people. That they've lost people again, and Rick is just being handed over to being kneeled again. And
bunch of meaningless people.
Oh, a bunch of fucking red shirts just everywhere. But because there is still some power. I actually really like the way this one scene is shot of him. He's being walked by Jadis, towards wherever Negan and company are. And there's two dead guys they pass. And we pan up to just a lot of saviors and garbage people still alive. I mean, there's dozens and dozens. They're all standing there. Carl's kneeled down, truly fucking hopeless looking. And I of course, didn't think Carl was going to die or Rick was going to die. But I really did think, fuck, was this another false start battle? Was this another, nope, the real battles are still a ways off. They are still going to be completely hobbled by this.
Yeah.
And I really thought that for a minute.
Yeah, they definitely got beat up. Now, I was thinking here that somebody was going to get sniped by Michonne, right?
Me too.
Because this was sort of cut against her epic struggle, which is meaningless, but not against the scene it's packaged with. I was like, oh, she's going to get this bitch off of her, toss her over, grab her rifle, and take a shot at Negan or something and maybe wound him, maybe wing him.
Yeah.
And that's going to kick off this whole thing. But that's not what happened. She just kind of wins her fight. I was like, oh, I can see the tension building. She's up on the tower. She's trying to offer cover. And I was like, oh, that's going to be so fucking cool. It's going to be so cool. And then nothing ever came of it, which is too bad. I kind of thought that was a bit of a missed opportunity. But you're going to wish you were dead. He's talking about how he's going to kill Carl. One nice big swing. He's going to, you know, do me a favor. I'm just going to try to make it one shot in his little cantaloupe head.
And I like Carl.
And he's like, you can do it right in front of me.
Yeah.
This was awesome by Rick.
I fucking agree. Because that was one thing I wanted to talk about. How as much as a lot of the season, especially the first half, is Rick being truly, truly crushed under the heel of the Saviors, I love that the very first bit of dialogue in the entire season, the very first thing we see is Rick's face covered in blood. And when Negan fucking kneels down and says, so what do you think? He just says, I'm going to kill you. Not today, not tomorrow, but eventually I'm going to kill you. I love that that's where we began. And we kind of meet it here at the end with some power behind it. And like, I like that this show, this is one thing I will give them for their credit to their pacing, is that even after this entire season, like we said, this outright war between them has really only just started. But I love that we're getting a repetition of this moment where the first time he said that to Negan, Negan literally just fucking laughed. Like, that's, ha ha ha, you have no idea how much I really have it over you. You still think there's a chance.
Sure.
At this point, I see Negan still not really believing it, but starting to realize, like, huh, like, you actually did come kind of close. Like, feeling the heat of that comment a little more. And I
he
like
felt
his,
it. You can see it in his face.
I mean, like his more subtle reaction, his quiet, like, huh, you really mean it. Like, no. I'm still not 100% worried about you being able to really pull it off, but fuck, you fucking mean it. Like, I liked that.
I think this is good stuff by Jeffrey Dean Morgan, because you can see when Rick makes this promise to him, his face really changes. It really changes to a, you can do it. As soon as Rick denies him the power,
yes,
Negan has a glimmer of rage on his face. And it's really obvious to me. I told you already, I'm going to kill you. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow. Nothing. Right? He's really telling him what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
In that, there's a look on Jeffrey Dean Morgan's face that is definitely got some rage in it. And I think it's rage because he's lost total power over Rick in this moment. And I think he kind of knows it. And when I say total power, I don't mean over his life or over Carl's life or everyone's life there. But I think he's calling Negan's bluff by saying, you're not going to kill every one of us right now. And you might kill Carl. And, you know, that's terrible. It sucks. And I love my kid. But we've kind of gotten to this point in our lives, in our struggle with you, where we all know that this is a possibility and it's not going to fucking break us. And I think that's what he's saying. I think they all know that now they're not going to be broken by it. And this was hinted at earlier in the season when him and Michonne were talking and he said, you know, you might die or I might die, but we'll have to go on. And now we're really seeing that play out when he tells Negan in so many words, this, go ahead, do it. Do it, bitch.
Yeah.
Dude, that's hardcore shit. And I think Carl knows enough about his dad to understand this is the fucking reality they face. And that's a hard fucking reality. But you're not a boy anymore, kid. You're a goddamn man. And this is just the reality we have to live under right now. And that is taking an enormous amount of power away from Negan. An enormous amount of power.
Yeah.
He might still be able to kill you. That's fine. He might be able to kill you. That's fine. But that's all right. And he lives and you die and that's fine. But there's something to be said in this test of will here that really measured up. And I think Rick gained a small glimmer of victory from Negan in this moment before she even makes her fateful leap attack. I think this is something here. This is you can see it affect Negan, and then he sort of recovers and he laughs again. He brings the smile. But he sneers. You can see him wanting
you
to
can
sneer.
See him. He is so mad that Rick even thought to be able to say that. That you would even think to still say that at this point is such an insult to him.
Yep.
You're fucking thumbing your nose at power.
Also, we should probably give special credit to Negan for shutting Jadis down when he's like, she's like 12, he's like 10. And she says 12, and he just looks at her, and she goes, 10. I appreciated the intimidation there because she is a hard bargainer. We know that much. And then Shiva kills a guy. By the way, that guy would have been dead in 5 seconds.
But damn, tell me you enjoyed the shot of that full
the bite on the
face.
Neck.
No, face. He just had whole she head. Had a fucking mouthful of face.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That so guy. Good. That shot should have been him dead, man. Jesus, the fucking ferocity of that.
Oh yeah.
Like there's no fighting it. There's no fighting it.
There's no fighting it. It's like fucking worse than goddamn Hugh Glass and the bear. I mean, Jesus. Just savaging you.
Savaging. So, yeah, damn. Wow, Rick. Okay. And then, boom, saviors. End the saviors and their accomplices. Jesus Christ. Give it a rest, Ezekiel.
It's funny. You know, I'm less bothered by... Oh, I'm watching it right now. I'm sorry. The scene, the close-up of the tiger on that dude's face looks amazing.
It's nasty.
It's both nasty and convincing.
Yeah, they definitely saved their CG for that moment.
Yeah, they were leaving the CGI rainy day budget for this.
Yeah. Oh. By the way, yeah, we just see occasionally a tiger fly across the screen and take out a guy.
Yeah. Fuck.
But no. I almost forgot to mention. You know who one of my favorite firearms holders is?
Ooh.
Fucking Father G.
Oh.
Rick too. Rick's always been pretty convincing, yeah. But Father G, I liked him despite using full auto. I thought he looked smooth the way he was sliding down the street. I was like, damn, that must be his training from The Wire.
Yeah, it's finally kicking in.
He looked fucking badass, man.
What did you think of fucking Daryl's spaceman gun? What in the hell even was that thing?
I know, that's just some crazy fucking Call of Duty get up.
That's literally what I was like. What is this Call of Duty Infinite Warfare gun he's got? Yeah, what is that crazy shit?
It's probably nothing. It's probably just the housing itself, I'm sure.
You know who also looks really good with a gun? Fucking Morgan. And he never uses one, but he finally has an M16 for a second here, and he finishes a clip and drops it.
No, I wasn't. I said I didn't watch him too much. Maybe I should have. I liked watching Father G's. There's a moment where he's coming down the street, and he's the guy like shooting at the truck as it drives away, right?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah, he's taking some shots.
He's cutting loose at it. I like how Jadis signals. I like how their team signals, right? For the fucking the smoke, the flare. I hate how Ezekiel's like, pursue them with his sword thrust in the air. Come on, dude. You're in a firefight. Pretend you could be killed right now.
See, now my biggest, I actually really enjoyed this whole exchange here. It's a little bit Deus Ex Machina, but this is a moment where I'm like, this is a big, spectacular comic book moment that is slightly unrealistic. And because it's a comic book fucking moment, man, like, you don't get these kinds of victories in real life. Like, that just doesn't, like, this kind of just decisive, our fucking ally. It's no more fucking unrealistic than fucking Gandalf leading the surprise army into Helm's Deep over the fucking hill with the god sunlight raining down on them. Like, it's just that kind of overwhelmingly positive victory that we have not had in this entire season. And that's why I think I can totally excuse it here, any unrealistic aspect of it, because it's like we finally have a notch in the belt for like a big overriding victory against a much more powerful force.
Sure.
Fucking fun to see. Yeah. My one thing that I could have taken three more shots of King Ezekiel like, avast, show them our forces. Like, fucking, I could have done with more of that and less of we cut over to Negan and he's like, that widow's alive and guns ablazing. I was like, are you like one of the the like full motion video game fucking cowboys and big buck hunter that I have to shoot for the bonus round? Like, tarnation! Look at that! Like, it was some bullshit. Like, I was like, that is a goofy ass line. Like, what?
Well, come hell or high water, it's Maggie Green. She's on the warpath.
It's old Maggie, six shooter green.
Oh, lever action Maggie.
What the fuck is this?
What kind of ace she got up her sleeve today? One tarnation?
Stupid. It's a bad dialogue all around.
Quick, grab the moonshine, Maggie. Green's on the field of battle now.
Fucking Jesus.
Well, them damn Union soldiers are closing in on us. Time to beat a hasty retreat.
Okay, if you say so.
Tell Snuffy Smith before they capture him and his wife.
Tell old one-legged Joe we gotta hobble up out of here and get on our horses.
Hey, old Bernie Face, start the truck.
All right, fuck it, I'm done. It's bad dialogue, though. Like, that, it was such a weird... And then, like, right after that, he's all like, you taste that, Simon? That's the taste of shit! And I'm like, yeah. What goofy ass in the heat of battle Negan is this? Like, what? Yeah.
It's pretty...
That annoyed me. That stuck out. Mm. But the rest of it, I'm actually pretty fine with.
You suppose they're in cahoots?
Well, it makes me want to stomp my hat. Old dusty prospecting hat.
Well, Calamity Jane on whiskey. I ain't never seen nothing like that before.
Oh, fuck.
What are you going to do? I think we've...
I think we've mined that vein.
All right.
Yeah, I think we better pull up stakes and look for a new place to chop up for some gold.
My water rods are trembling. Best find a new well.
I think we should reconnoiter over yonder. Try to drum up some gold.
There's oil in them darn hills.
Well, penny feathers. We should put something together.
We're fired. I'm firing us from our own podcast.
We are fired.
We're totally fired.
We're more upset with ourselves than you are with us, I'm sure. Yeah,
trust me, save the emails because we hate ourselves more than you do right now.
I'm going to go flog myself like that guy from the Da Vinci Code after this.
The albino?
Yeah. That's me.
Oh, they're into a weird brand of Jesus, aren't they? Fuck. They are into a weird brand of Jesus on that one.
They are into some weird Jesus, yeah. All right. Well, fuck. We gotta stop.
Yeah.
Whew. But no, this is a fun little fucking victorious battle. I mean, yes. like we've talked about, like, we have got to see Rick stand up. We need to see some visuals of Rick standing up, being active with a gun, resisting Negan. Like, it's taken a long time to get to this point. Oh, and
16 episodes, if you're asked, if you're wondering. 16 episodes.
16 fucking episodes, yeah. We've seen him muster up some strength before this, but to actually take armed action against the man. Here, finally. Here we are. And I did love Morgan's big toothpick of death running over and sticking a guy in the face. Right as him and, him and Rick link up, I guess.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Sweet.
Good.
Okay. Yeah.
Here we go. Oh, and what? Ezekiel's got like a... I didn't realize that he had a mystical Rastafarian sword, like, marked for death.
Oh, my God, dude.
What in the... I did not realize that shit.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. He's like, tally-ho, and thrusting it into the air. It's fucking nonsense.
I love it so much. I love his nonsense.
I feel like I stumbled upon a LARPing session, right? Next thing you know, they're going to be fucking throwing beanbags at each other, saying fireball. I don't know. So anyway, Negan gets away, doing the middle finger as Seth Gilliam empties a clip into the side of that van.
I did actually like that moment from Negan as well.
I didn't mind that so much. He strikes me as a guy that would do such a thing.
Totally.
All right. Well, let's go see fucking Hamburger Face, i.e. Michonne.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Oh, Hamburger Face.
God, she's looking rough right here. Poor girl.
Yeah.
She's looking like Rick after taking on the governor the last time. Just all fucking squishy melon face.
Him and the biters. I ain't said biters in a while. But
biters.
So she's good. Yeah, we won. Yay. We hug. Everybody loves each other. We cry. Let's talk about the last two scenes, which is the sanctuary and then, of course, Maggie's speech.
Yeah. Oh, man. I love the last sanctuary scene. This is
me
good
too.
Shit.
It's fucking
good
badass.
Shit. Because I love that we have this fault line exposed in Morgan. I mean, not in Morgan, in Negan for his paranoia. And he's right. His instincts are fucking sharp. But I love that he's already starting to see the seeps in his own. Like, he's not trusting his own guys. And that's some good shit. He just turns around right to fucking Eugene. How would she end up dead in there? There's no fucking way. I love that detail did not slip by him. Like, he's smart. Like, Negan is a fucking intelligent guy. And there's no reason. This perfectly healthy woman who is handed a nice fresh bottle of water, why would she just be miraculously dead in a box?
Mm. Yikes.
And he just stares him down.
Yep. I like it. It's good stuff. I like the when he steps out and he says, we're going to war.
Still has plenty of dudes.
Plenty of dudes, bro.
Oh, my God.
Tons and tons of dudes. A whole season's worth to kill, actually.
That'd be my guess. Look at my 16 episodes worth of dudes to kill.
I just felt like this reminded me of Two Towers. I just expected Wormtongue to be like, even if it is breached, it would take a number beyond reckoning.
A fair point, your liege.
A just question, my liege. Tens of thousands. But, my lord, there is no such force. Oh, yes, there is. Well, want to talk about Maggie's speech? I'm going to let you take me through this.
Oh, Miss Maggie Green's speech? Hmm. It's her talking, right?
Yeah, take me through this masturbatory experiment here. Sorry.
Now, for one, so I'm slightly confused. I'm guessing this is the conversation you had with Sasha, right? That they were having, watching the sunrise together, I guess.
What?
Right, you know what I mean? Like, okay, because we were cutting back. This is one of those weird dangling threads from this episode of we were cutting back and forth to Sasha talking to Abraham and also a shot of her sitting with Maggie.
I think she explicitly mentions Rick, though.
Does she? Says,
we were all strangers. Now we mean everything to each other. You were in trouble. You were trapped. Glenn didn't know you, but he helped you. He put himself in danger
for you. Well,
that's true.
She's talking about Rick,
right?
There. Yeah.
That started it all. From Atlanta to my daddy's farm to season 3 to season 4 to season 5 to season 6 to season 7.
That's right. True. That
not as true. Strangers as family. As family.
As family. As sweet southern family.
While this is going on, Daryl finds the didn't know written on the soldier from Dwight. Glenn chose to be there for you that day a long time ago. That was the decision that changed everything. It started with both of you, and it just grew. All of us to sacrifice for each other like a husband's bulge. We see Sasha and Maggie watching the sunrise. Maggie keeps talking to live, to love, to fucking do this, to blah, blah, to jerk each other off. She just keeps talking and talking and fucking talking. Can someone play me the wrap-up music for her? Like the play me off.
You play you off hook? The Oscar stage?
You see the big hook come out and like pull her by the neck, right? Yank
from
her
Atlanta
off stage.
To my daddy's farm. Yep.
That whole thing. Yeah, so that's the speech.
That's basically it. We see Rick tending to the very poorly beat up Michonne. And we also see, you know, so I think we're seeing an outright alliance at this point, of course, between the kingdom and Alexandria. And I guess with them starting to shack up together, like they're going to have some presence in each other's towns. I take it now. They've built an entire stage for Ezekiel to fucking be Hamlet.
That's true. Now what they need to do is they need to consolidate their resources in one spot, I feel like.
Yeah. Or
so
at
least
it can be easily burned and destroyed.
No, but maybe in a couple spots. You don't want to be too spread out because then you'll just be picked off one little shit group at a time.
No, that's totally true.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. That's it, right?
That's season 7.
That's season fucking 7.
It's done.
Here we are. Bam.
Boom.
Resistance has begun.
Resistance has begun. It's time for war. All right. Let's do some listener comments, brother. Who do you got?
I have got the one, the only, the eagle eye, the dedicated, the loyalist, never given up, Karen Lomas. Here she is. She says, to all you naysayers regarding last season's finale, you can't complain about this one. No cliffhanger here. To think I really liked Jadis. I liked the Sasha/Abraham flashbacks. They were a necessary part of the storyline. Ezekiel's talk with Morgan was so strong. EZ is very theatrical, but he was clearly smart enough to snap Morgan out of his clear mode. Say what you will about Carl, but he shot three of those scavengers, so go Carl. Rick was willing to give up everything, including his son, just to kill Negan. I was so glad he didn't back down. Negan running to Simon for cover gave me the impression that these two were friends way before the apocalypse. Tables were turned, and he ran. It was Pee Pee Pants City for Negan. Once again, Carol saved the day, this time with friends. I was waiting for Shiva, and she didn't disappoint. Could she be a one-trick pony? I hope not. The surprise factor being over and all. But just one bullet will be all they need to take her down. How did she know the good guys from the bad, also? I liked Maggie's speech at the end, but will this woman ever look pregnant? Loved this season finale. Let the countdown begin for season 8. Hopefully, season 8 will bring us a Kazekiel romance.
Mm. Oh, I see what you did there.
Thank you, Miss Lomas.
Okay. I'm going to go with Maria.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Maria says it to me. All right, I'll stop. She says...
Okay, Antonio.
I will read the comment now. Maria says, this may have been just me, but when I realized it was Sasha in the coffin, that she had swallowed the pill, I automatically assumed that she would be dead, not undead. Me too, Maria. I kind of forgot about it. Because they haven't gone to that trope in a while. Not trope, but that reality. It hasn't been a major concern, with the exception. Like, it hasn't been like a big thing. Like, oh, we're so used to it at this point. It was kind of a shock. She continues by saying, I was a little shocked she came out a zombie. I liked that she was a zombie and she tried to bite Negan. I just can't remember if it's ever been established how long it takes to turn into a biter. I'm going to pause her right there and say, it varies from person to person. Shane became a zombie very quickly. Some people take longer than others. The one that was in the cell with Sasha recently took a while. Now her comment picks back up. I'm editorializing. I apologize. She says, I know she asked Eugene how long the ride was going to be. Overall, I enjoyed this episode. I just don't understand why Garbage Pail Kids are negotiating with the Saviors and what exactly they are offering. I may have missed that part, too. I think I have the answer. I think they were offering Rick. I think the Saviors were, I think the Garbage Pail people were offering Rick, and maybe in return they were getting to be left alone, or people. I think they're going to get 10 people, because they said 10, not 12. I think he's offering resources.
He did say, he said people or resources.
Yeah, and I think he's giving them actual bodies. What was your take on that, Matt?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he's like basically saying, all right, here's people. Like, you're going to have some of my... Wait, no, hold on. Are you saying dead bodies?
No, real people.
Oh, okay. Okay, I was like, wait, are we talking about like Terminus cannibals all of a sudden now? But no, yeah, I think he's saying, all right, yeah, you can have 10 of my guys. They will come help you with whatever weird-ass fucking creepy garbage projects you have going on back there.
What a shit fucking deal that would be if it was, if you're one of Negan's guys. Dude, you better be on your best behavior, or you're living with the trash people.
Yo, Frank, leave your room with the running water and toilet and a bed. You're going to go live in the fucking dump yard now. You live in the dump with those weird talking people now.
Your only hope is that you got a strong chin and dashing eyes, and maybe Jadis will want to lay with you.
I shall lay with him. Me lay with him.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Was that all?
That's what she said.
Oh, okay. Well, shit. Yeah. All right.
Just wanted to highlight the fact that I was thinking, it occurred to me that it was a surprise. Like, holy shit, she's going to be a walker too. Because I was thinking, she's going to be dead in there. She's going to be dead. Holy fuck, that's right. They could come back when they die. I thought, I was going through my head too.
I like it. All right. I've got Miss Susan A. York. And she said, I think Michonne was
Can
better.
Can you say York appropriately, though?
York. Is that
nope.
it?
No, we do the English version. York.
Ah, yes. It's Susan York. A. Yorkshire.
Susan A. Yorkshire, Hampshire village.
Worcestershire
Hamlet sauce. Carry on.
How do you guys like us? All right. She said, I think Michonne was better with just the katana. This is ridiculous. Why are they weakening a good warrior? Hate it. Make someone else the sniper. They were losing Sasha, so make Michonne the sniper? BS. Where the hell is her excellent weapon of choice? I think this is a stupid storyline switch. As for Eugene, I think his storyline is getting more interesting. He told Sasha about feeling safe with the Saviors because he is a coward, but he slipped her the suicide pill and he got out of a truck to tell Rick to stand down. I don't know if it was brave or foolhardy to think Negan has that much trust in him, because, as we see in close to the last scene, I was pretty sure Negan was going to get Lucille Eugene, and I think Eugene might not have known it. He was obviously making excuses and telling Negan how Sasha might have died in the casket. However, I'm not sure he knew just how much Negan wanted to Lucille someone.
Boom. Like, I got another one. Nick Krivak. Ah. Maybe it's because I've just been haven't been a big Ezekiel fan, but I'm getting sick of all the faux king speak. It was especially apparent in the finale. Just grated me, particularly this whole Alexandria will not fall on this day bullshit or whatever he said. Who does this guy think he is, Aragorn? Shiva is a fucking stone cold killer, though, so at least there's that. That shit was cool. We need more of that CG tiger. As for the rest of the finale, I liked it enough, except for Zeke and the part with Maggie and Sasha sitting together staring off. I did not get what that was about. Was it a flashback or a hallucination? Anyway, good first battle and build up to the war next season. So, boom. I liked that from Nick. That showed some gradations in the way he felt. I thought that was very well said. Thank you, Mr. Nixa. Mr. Nick Goodsa.
Very nice.
Got anybody else?
I do. Since this is a finale, I think we should read a little more than normal. Yeah, I've got a couple on here.
Yeah, bring it out. Pull it out.
And I have, of course, of Sir Dealey, Knight Grand Cross of England.
What? The Grand Knight himself, Craig Dealey, sir?
Grand Knight, most British.
The Craig most Dealey. British, Craig Dealey, sir. Good to see you, sir.
Yes, Craig Dealey. Oh.
I'm laughing through my pipe.
it's overflowing leather chairs.
I seem to have dropped my monocle in my many giant books.
All right, well.
Have you seen my longbow, sir?
Fuck. Our intro for Craig gets longer every time.
You know the ones we pounded the French with over at Asian Gore?
Ah, yes.
Sorry.
Back on the War of the Roses.
Yes, sir.
Shit. All right, so, Craig, to get to his comment... Well, I enjoyed that. I was afeard of some whole piece of fuckery, but I am pleased. That is some southern ass shit out of you, Craig. Wow. I was afeard of some whole piece of fuckery. Wow. But I am pleased that they managed to get the war started. There were a couple of standouts for me. Sasha weaponizing herself in the knowledge that Negan would want to be the one to reveal her to Rick. When she emerged as a walker, it drew a simultaneous wow from me and my lad. Almost a shame it didn't work, but it sets him up for the upcoming war. Death by Tiger. I am prepared to gloss over the CGI, which wasn't too bad, in my honest opinion. That is why they had Bambi in the other episode, to save some money to at least make Shiva look okay.
No shit.
Is it wrong to say, amidst all the death and mayhem, that I was worried the Tiger may have died? Rick's fuck you attitude in the moment where I thought Negan was about to lose his cool before, damn, at last the war is on. If Rick wants my advice, unlikely, he should go for Jada's first, on general principle. So 100% with you on that, Craig. That's the next person you kill.
I felt totally the same way. I was like, holy shit, I hope the Tiger didn't get shot. So I'm with you there, too.
True.
Jay Vandevier says, I cannot fucking stand the garbage people. Out of all the ridiculous and unbelievable shit in this show, the way they act and talk is the worst. They've got to be aliens. It's the only explanation I will accept. I appreciate that, because that is some funny shit. Yes, they might be aliens. Mulder and Scully may be actively pursuing that case.
Too true.
Anyone else?
I've got, yeah. Miss Deborah Mercuro. She said, I say fuck yeah. It was everything I hoped for and more. For Jadis to say Negan made me a better deal had me baffled. Negan doesn't make deals. His deal is the only deal. Wonder if Jadis would even care if any one of those ugly-ass, dirty misshits in her group got Lucille'd. Hearing Abe's ridiculous quotes made me miss him that much more. Say what you want, but Carl was badass when he turned that gun and started taking out misfits. Until he opens his mouth and starts talking, so not convincing still. All the money his parents make on this show, and you think he'd have some better acting by now. True, they could afford better coaches. That's a good point, Mikuro. She also goes on to say, King E's entrance, though, was perfection. And what do you know? The Hilltop trainees came through. Even though Maggie's voice goes through me like nails on a chalkboard, her speech at the end made me cry. Kudos to you, Lauren Cohen.
Wow. I have Mr. John Buckets. Mr. Buckets. That's Craig Dealey's. Craig Dealey's countryman. I just assume they hang out together and drink tea.
That's it. There's only like 20 people in England, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I heard. They all do the same thing.
What's
There's
Guy
no,
Ritchie
no diversity.
Like?
No diversity.
Oh, shit.
I've been watching this cricket match for 4 days. And you thought baseball was boring. All right, so...
It's going to get interesting any hour now.
Mr. Bucket says, Jadis is dirty in so many ways. Carl became Big Papa, Grimes in a spinning whirl of shooty death dealing, Rick's big FU to Negan, massive battle, cool guns, terrible marksmanship, big cat chomping faces, Callum Morgan back in action, Negan looked like he pooped his pants, tiny bit, maybe he's good, Mark? Plus a couple of unexpected bonus Abrahamisms. Enjoyed it. This season has led me to accept, and this is my favorite part of this, this season has led me to accept that there will be nonsense, there will be shenanigans, and there will be fuckery. But that's now part of the show, like it or not. I personally choose to accept that this whole show takes place in a parallel universe where weird shit happens sometimes. It still entertains me, and the good outweighs the bad, and I get to enjoy the discussions and podcasts that follows as much, if not more, than the show itself. Roll on, Season 8, All Out War. Boom, says Johnny, Mr. Good Sir Bucket, sir.
Nice.
Mr. Bucket, sir.
Mr. Bucket, yes.
Mr. Case, I rest my case, Mr. Bucket, sir.
Powder's flying off my wig.
Yes. The defense rests, Mr. Bucket, sir. I like that. That's a good, like the reality of him saying that, because that's kind of, I said that kind of halfway through this thing. Maybe I should say kind of again. That's cool. Awesome. You're really good at podcasting.
Is that fence comfortable?
Yeah, kind of.
All right. I'm going to throw a bone to the haters here on this one. From Mr. William Alvarez, he said, well, this finale managed to be just good enough to keep me going for another season. Congratulations, The Walking Dead. You went from being one of the best shows ever created to mediocre. How about that Into the Badlands, though?
Nice.
But no, I am with Mr. Bucket. There's some silliness here and there. Shenanigans. Nonsense. But I still love it.
Final thoughts, sir.
That was it. Had him. Sometimes nonsense and silly shit, but still love it. But no, in truth, I think this, I feel like I say this a lot about the show, that it's left at a good spot where I'm like, I feel good about where it's setting things up to go, especially. I really do hope they go all in on the war, and that next season is genuine. Like, I want it to feel like a wartime show, you know, or like where it's like we are in fucking England while there are still like air raids going on. Like, I want that omnipresent sense of just they're out there. They're not just over at their sanctuary going to come make visits and check on our shit. No, they're out there. Like, there are outposts. They could be lying in wait in ambushes anywhere. We are in a state of war now. I want that. If they can do that, and if they don't have, you know, too many lollygagging episodes, because they're going to have some. Yeah, they're going to fucking have some. All right? There's going to be some clunkers that are in there. But I just want it to feel like a full-blown state of war. And that... their alliances have to act according to that kind of situation. That it's not just, all right, well, okay, we know about the kingdom now, so how many fucking bongo drums and fucking apples do you want to trade? Like, I don't want to see that nonsense. Like, no, you guys are in a state of war. Who can make weapons? Where, you know, Eugene told you about this one bullet-making facility, but that's in the hands of the saviors now, so what are you going to do for this? Like, I want to see those aspects getting worked out between, you know, the Hilltop. I want to see, I guess... They didn't really talk about it much, but Gregory's fucking gone. Like, it's not just that, oh, he's been telling the Savior stuff. He left. He went to the Saviors. We don't see him this episode, but I think he's gone all the way over to the Sanctuary and fucking lives there now, I guess, or he's at least staying with them. I think by state of de facto, that the Hilltop is under Maggie's control. She is the leader there now. And I like that. It's funny that this episode really didn't highlight that very much or talk about it, but that is the state of affairs. She owns the place. And I like that she is a leader of her own camp now and is an ally with Rick. I like where we are at. You know, we talked a lot about, you know, throughout this whole season of how much I think the show's potential for the next couple of seasons, for it to still be interesting and good, is to have this big world-building kind of exercise of, like, we are seeing multiple camps, we're seeing the politics happening between them, and I like that we're beginning this really in full effect in a state of war situation, and I think that's good shit. Negan was good in this. I was worried about, you know, halfway through the season, or even, you know, a couple episodes into the second half, I was like, are they going to overdo Negan? Is Negan just going to be fucking totally boring and uninteresting, and I'm just tired of watching him by the end of this? And they didn't. There was a moment where I thought that could go that way, but I still think, yeah, Jeffrey Dean Morgan is a hell of an actor. He pulls it off. I think the show is starting to figure out how to use him. At first, you know, they wanted to give us that big, in-your-face, heavy dollop of Negan to sate everybody's appetite for, we want to see him, we want to see Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Negan, and have this big, you know, fucking 12-minute speech of an entrance. And it was, you know, interesting in its own way, but you can't keep doing that forever. And for a while there, tiptoed around places where, maybe a little too much, but I think they found a sweet spot with Negan here, and I think that'll hopefully carry over. And I think, he's a good fucking villain, man. When they want to make him right, they can make him really interesting. So, yeah, I'm on board for the next season, man. I hope they really do go fucking balls deep, make it a war, make it the all-out war arc, and just really do it. I want to see that.
Nice.
Well, is that your thoughts?
It's the fucking Walking Dead. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning into another episode of the Walking Dead podcast by LSG Media. If you like what you heard, remember to share the episode with friends. Get us out there. Get our name out there. Help us out. And you know what? Check out LibertyStreetGeek.net. We got all kinds of podcasts over there. Plenty to listen to. Science fiction, film, Game of Thrones, True Detective, and more. All right. We'll see you next time.